Communicate.
Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Well, the recording just kicked in, so we'll start all over again. All right, welcome to tonight's call. I was talking with Gerard earlier today, and we were talking about ham radios. And I think it might be a wise idea for all of us to go out and start getting some ham radios. Now, we don't need to buy expensive ones. Well, if we make a plan, you know, as long as someone in your neighborhood has one that can go long distance, I know there's a way you can hop around and get across the country. We can actually even run programs like this over it and talk at a certain time in the evening or whatever the case may be. So it's something we should look into. We should have communications. You know, the first order of business whenever you go to war is you take out their communications, their supply lines, their food lines, and you demoralize them with as much ammo as you can. And that's what's going to happen, of course. They're going to take out exactly all those things. They're going to take out our communications. We're going to be in the dark. We're not going to know what's even going on in our next town unless we have communications. So we should think about this, and we'll make a plan. This came to my mind because I got a letter from an email from someone from the Oath Keepers out of Sullivan County up here in New York, and they were talking about a free course, a 5-week course on ham radios, which I called the guy up, and he said it's about 2 hours a night, 5 nights, they're going to need 10 hours. So I think we can do something on the Internet, especially if we get webinar back. We can probably do something on a webinar, record it, and then people can learn about it when they have the time. And we can all get on the same page. We can make a plan for communications, what channels we would be on, and how all that stuff works. I know Gerard has a background in ham radio. We also have a connection out in Sullivan County with another guy, Yuri. He's very involved with ham radios, and he'd be very helpful. He was over, I think, in... goodness, somewhere over in the Russian area, I forget. Anyway, he went through hard times years ago with the communists, and he survived it, and he came to America. So, and they used ham radios over there, and they had different tactics that were they were able to get through, so he can kind of teach us a lot. But anyway, let's move back into a couple of things I want to talk about. You know, last week I had mentioned we're like 30 seconds to midnight. And I'm going to say today we're at 25 seconds to midnight. We're getting closer and closer. You know, we had someone on a call last night that mentioned that they might have some inside information that, you know, December might be the end, end game, so to speak. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I do know it's close. You can read it just by listening to the news. These people are pretty bold. They make no bones about the fact that they're reading our email, listening to our conversations, And the list goes on and on and on and on. I also hear stories of things happening, and you don't hear about it on the news. And so that tells us a little something, too. That's how Marxist and communists work, Nazis work. So I think a lot of people now are aware that they have set up a no-constitutional zone 100 miles from the borders all the way around the perimeter of the United States. Again, another sign of a major problem. That has been set into effect. I'm sure they're not. They're probably putting it upon us very slowly. I mean, just by the fact that they pull over people in road checks is bad enough. Just the regular cops. But I heard it's starting to they're starting to do this with troops now. So, however true that is, we know it's going to get there eventually. So, in any event, the gates of Troy have been breached, and the event is imminent. What exactly that is, it's just really, I think it'll begin with the pulling of the monetary plug, and then things will go down from there. We talked a week or two ago about the fact that we are an occupied nation. There are foreign troops on our soil, and we don't do nothing about it. Of course, the news isn't talking about it. But there are people who have been sounding the alarm. Ron Paul's been sounding the alarm since 2005. And I think this is something that we have to take very serious. So we need to sound that alarm. And we need to act now. So that puts us into where we're at. And what we're going to do, of course, is the grand jury. But we have to take this more serious. There are a lot of people that are running the elections. I'm not necessarily hearing when people are planning, but I hope that everybody's planning. We need to be planning. look, it, even if you only got three people in a county, do it. You only need three witnesses to get everything signed and done. So three people will do it. It'll be a little more work because they have to post in a few more extra towns, maybe twice as many. Instead of three towns, they'll have to post in six towns. Whatever the case may be, let's do it. Let's get the elections done. At some point, we're going to let you know when New York is going to file, and it's going to be a lot of counties at one time in New York. You know, like I said, you know, we have at least 17 counties, maybe 20, maybe 30, maybe more counties will file at the same time, and it's coming very close. I've been saying a couple of weeks for a while, and I'm going to hold on that kind of thinking for now. We have some elections going this week in New York, and we have elections set up for next week. And we got a few other counties, maybe two other counties we'd like to get in before we reach our goal. But, you know, I also know there are other counties in other places of New York other than south of Albany that are coming into the game. And I got to find out what their status is and when they're planned for elections. And so it's going to be very soon that we're going to kind of reveal ourselves here in New York. And then we're going to hope that there are a lot of other states that have four, five, or six counties together within their state that they can do the same thing. And from that point forward, every day there should be counties coming online, so to speak, with the power of the grand jury. So, again, we got to get going on this. We can't play around. We got to treat this like war. I'd much rather be fighting this particular war than the kind of war that they're planning for us. So let's get moving on this. There is no more time. You know, we have well over 600 people involved with us already, and yet, you know, we only have 60 or 70 people that show up for a meeting on a Monday night. I don't know how many people are listening in afterwards. I hope a lot. But we need to do better than that. We need, if we're in a county and we're building, and there's, you know, whatever state you're in and you're building your county, everybody should know the leaders of the other counties. This is something we should not, you know, neglect. It's extremely important to get to know the people in your counties and who's working. You know, in my county, I know, in my state, I know everybody, all the leaders of the counties. I know them all. I have some conversations with them from time to time, especially the active ones that are filing right now. But I do have communications with most everyone. And I'm going to try to have more communications with more that I haven't as much because, you know, they haven't been ready to run, but I'm going to start calling them to push them. They got to run. If someone is alone and they only got two people or something, or even just three people, you know, the sister county should go help them. You know, you put out the call and ask for help. Let's make phone calls. We know people in various areas of our state and even in other states. Let's make the phone call. And let's get things going. We got to move on this. There is no more time. We've got to stop playing around, and I shouldn't really say that because I know the people that are coming here are active, they're concerned. But the others who aren't, we got to push them. They need to understand. They got to communicate. They got to connect. We got to get on the same page. Now, I want to read a couple of states. We've got 42 states in play right now. There are states that we do not have in play yet. Everybody, if you know anybody in any of these states, let's make the phone calls tonight or tomorrow. Let's get somebody on board in one of these states to start the motion within their states. Wisconsin is not on board yet. Iowa, I'm checking these sites as we go to make sure that there's no one signed up yet. No one signed up yet in Iowa. Nebraska, nobody signed up in Nebraska yet. Vermont, nobody signed up in Vermont. Kansas, nobody in Kansas. North Dakota, nobody in North Dakota. Minnesota, nobody in Minnesota. And West Virginia. So there are eight states that have not come on board yet. But I can tell you that there, in most of those states, and at least four, maybe more, maybe five of those states, there are people in the system, but they did not choose to be leaders, anyone to help organize. I've tried to make contact with those people. I've left messages on their machines. Hopefully some of them will get back to me and to see if they can't at least connect me with somebody in their state that might be interested in this, and we can have them spearhead the move in their state. In your state, if there's two counties or 20 counties, you all should be talking. Somebody in those counties should be talking with others in the other counties. You got to connect. And amongst you, you need to decide who's going to spearhead the control, the working of getting the rest of the state on board. You know, we're all busy with our own counties, but somebody we have to appoint or someone has to agree to go to the other counties within our state and to find a leader in each county. If you find someone in a meetup group, you know, someone involved with a Tea Party or a Ron Paul group or something, okay, all those people are capable of getting, you know, three or four or five people immediately. All they have to do is, you know, they all have influence, and they're able to influence people and say, hey, go look at this, and send them to our front page, watch the video, and then have them, you know, get on board and run the election and get going. Now, I'm going to tell you, the floodgates are going to open the moment the news has no choice but to report on what's going on. That'll come. It'll come soon. And at that point, you know, you'll have people like Alex Jones, maybe Glenn Beck, and others that will tap into this. You'll have the other leaders, I believe, that will eventually catch on and realize it. You know, Sheriff Mack and what's his name? Griffin's got a pretty big group. He's worldwide. I know if he knew what we were doing, he'd pop in. I purposely haven't tried to get a hold of him because I'm not looking to get big notice from, you know, any news media or any government agency or anything. We want to kind of stay under the radar for as long as we can. It's important that we are ready and have people at the helm to receive these people when the floodgates open. That's key. If we do not have the flood, if we do not have the helm under control, we're going to get a lot of maniacs. And we're going to get people that are going to try to grab control of this thing and use it for political purposes. I've already seen and heard of things, and it's not good. So thankfully, it's minor and it's not much, but I've heard of a couple of incidences across the country that is not good for us. And they can hurt what we're really trying to do. So we have some among us who are running off half-cocked. They're not plugging into the program. They haven't got a clue on what they're doing. They're taking bits and pieces of what we're doing, and they're not going through the program to see what our strategy is. And they're going out. There's a case, at least one case that has happened already. Another case was ready to happen. Hopefully, we stopped it. Where a group have become a grand jurist from learning from us. At least half from us, not obviously they haven't been listening very close, and they went out and filed two indictments already, presentments, shall I call them. And that's not what we're about. We're not planning to go out and filing presentments. We're planning to go out to save the republic, and we're going out. We want to do this with honor. We want to be honorable. We want to befriend the enemy, you know. We want to... just do the right thing and make everyone else do the right thing. Look at justice will come not long after. Wait for it. The people will come to the grand jury and make their complaints, and then justice will come to the people that everybody thinks they have to go indict. We don't have to shut things down. We don't have to go crazy because, this is the ground floor of control right here is the courts. You take the courts, the court control, you've taken police control, you've taken all of their control. They lose control of the entire country when we take the judicial control back and bring it back to the common law. The town courts can't operate on anything under admiralty law. Federal courts can't operate on your soil without going through you. They're going to fall away for lack of concern because the building is going to be a ghost town because we're not going to indict. There's very few things that there's only a few constitutional cases that might be filed with them, but that is very rare and far and in between. And if we have control of our courts, meaning our local courts, our constitutional courts, which are supposed to be, you know, common law courts, if we have control of those courts, then we're not going to have a problem. That we would have to call the feds in for help. So, we have to do the right thing. We have to stick to the plan. We have emergencies coming up, and we have to get control of our court system. We got to get control of the prosecutor, and we got to get control of the sheriff. And if we don't do that, that's the first order of business. You know, if you were wrecked on an island somewhere, a shipwrecked on an island. The first order of business is to find a home, take care of shelter and food. That's the first order of business, and that's what we're talking about here. you know, shelter, food, and security. And then things, everything else comes after that. But until you get control of that, you we're just running around with chickens without a head, because we're not. What can you do if you don't have control? What purpose does it have if you get someone who's evil and you get them indicted but you lose control of everything else, you lose the country? What difference does it make? So we have to do what we have to do first. We have to follow the prescription, otherwise we're going to destroy everything we're doing. Anyway, we started to put some stuff on we created a new page. It's on the left side of nationallibertyalliance.org. It's called Juris Documents. And one of the first things we wrote up here is Constitution of a Common Law Grand Jury. Now, I posted this. These are the rules. You know, we should have posted this a while ago, but I guess I've been so busy I just never got around to it. But the other day I said I got to do this, and we wrote something. And it's pretty simple. It's one page. Everybody should read it, and everybody should agree with it. If you don't agree with this page, then you, maybe you should request that you be removed from our registry, and we'll just go on. Those who are amongst us that are leading people down the wrong path, I'm asking that they stop. And if they don't stop, the people that are following behind them should sober up and disconnect themselves from that person and move away and do something on your own. But if you don't agree with the principles, and the first, there are three principles we have. The first two is honor and justice. If we're not interested in justice and we don't walk in honor, we're worth nothing and we will not succeed. And so that's the first order of business. And, of course, we have to come with a sense of mercy. And it's a humble thing to have mercy on people who you know are evil. But you know what? If they behave themselves and they back off, and we take things under control, then let's give some mercy there. You know what? Again, like I said, justice will prevail eventually. Someone will step up, and we'll have to indict that person because they've done a lot of evil. So let's not go on to the witch hunt. So whoever these people are that are going off half-cocked, they got to stop it. I want to cut myself away from those people. I do not want them people. I don't want no part with those people. None of us should want any part with those people. We have to do this with honor, and we have to do this with the focus of justice. So, again, I'm going to ask any of those people out there that don't agree with this, please disconnect, send me your name, and I'll remove you from the registry. In any event, the Constitution of a Common Law Grand Jury is right here on this page. It's the first document. Anybody who signs up, it's something that they're clicking on now to agreeing with. So we're presumptuous that anybody that's amongst us is going to agree with our principles, okay? Now, a lot of people ask questions on the grand jury enforcement. We had a call a couple of weeks ago, and we focused in on that. We did it on the webinar, so we showed some stuff. But if we wrote a paper, again, one page. It makes it crystal clear. If you can't articulate it and people are asking you that question, print out this page and just study it once in a while. Read it. Hand them a copy of it. Whatever you got to do, show them that there is enforcement. It's clear. It's simple. It's divisive. It's the end of it. Okay. So I did update the video on the front page. We made a few changes. There had always been a few errors in it, so we corrected those errors. Also we added a couple of things. And it didn't really get any longer. Actually, we lost 30 seconds or a minute. So, in any event, we have updated the video. Now, the video does include now the enforcement information. We put an extra page in there, enforcement. We also created a page called Authorities. Now, this might be 5 pages or so or 4 pages because there's a lot of authorities. You know, by what authority do you do this? You know, people say you got to call the sheriff, you got to get the judge's approval, you got to get the sheriff. They haven't got a clue on what they're talking about. So I put a paper together on authorities, and it is crystal clear on where we get our authority. And there's a lot of authorities out there. We've got 4 pages of it. I also put in this page, which is also on our workshop page, the Jurist Handbook. Again, this is something everybody should run off and get familiar with. at some point when we collect some monies, we'll get some things going and we'll start getting handbooks, printed out, and we'll get the best price we can. Maybe you'll be able to order them for, $100, maybe at 60 cents a piece or whatever kind of deal we can get. We also put some information on indictments, presentments, and summons. These are just examples. They're very simple. When you look at it, you're going to say, oh, it's that simple. Yeah, it is that simple. We'll talk about, how to write up something. This is basically the form, but how to kind of write it up in a nice way, in a legal fashion. That we'll talk about as we move into that. And we'll just help people out and advise people, and we'll put out something. And every time we help someone, we'll put that example on the internet somewhere, one of these pages, and then you'll be able to look up a subject and see how that particular indictment was written or presentment was written, and so on. We also have the plan up there. Again, we have a plan. The first order of business is dealing with the judge, the prosecutor, and the sheriff. We can't do anything without bringing them under control. This group that went out half-cocked, and there's another group that had some problems out in California, and someone called me recently, and I was talking with them, and I said, well, are you doing your work from the courthouse itself? Are you sitting in the jury room? And they said, no. Well, that's your first problem right there. The first order of business is to file the papers, let them know we're here, and get access into the jury room. Until you get access into the jury room, don't even think about trying to do anything. You've got to get them to acknowledge you, and we will force them to acknowledge you. They will acknowledge us in many places, and in the places we have problems, the rest of us will force them to acknowledge you and to acknowledge the jury in that county. Once you get acknowledged, that's the first step. Now they know you're there, they know you do mean business, and they're not going to mess with your paperwork. Now, if you have to do a presentment, which hopefully is weeks or a month away, okay, but if you had to do a presentment, you'd file it, and they will not touch it because they'll understand that you have the authority and it was done correctly. The next order of business, of course, once you get the seat in the county courthouse in the jury room, sort of get the keys of the room, so to speak, well, the first order of business after that is to get that judge in line. You can't do anything until that judge is put in line. Until that judge understands that we're all about the common law, and he's going to have to become all about the common law, or he's got three choices, and we'll give it to him very clearly in a humble way. He can resign. That's one choice. We'll get another judge in there to obey. Or he can obey, and that's another choice. And the third one, he can force us to do a presentment on him, okay, which is just another word for an indictment. Okay, so he's got those three choices. We'll let him decide which one he wants. But you can't do anything. You can't talk to the sheriff. You can't talk to the prosecutor. You can't do anything until you deal with the judge and he understands who the boss is, that the people is the boss and he works for us. Then the next order of business is the prosecutor. And he's a simple one, because once you got the judge understanding on what's going on and you've got the authority by sitting in the jury room and you call the prosecutor in there, now he's got three choices too. He can resign, he can behave and obey, or he can be indicted, we'll do a presentment, indicted. So again, he's got a choice, whichever one. It's a free country. He can choose any one of those three, okay? And then the third order of business is the sheriff. And the sheriff, you're not going to give an ultimatum to. You're basically going to call him in and befriend him. And in that process of befriending him, you're then going to get him on your side. Ultimately, you're going to let him know that you're here to protect him. Look, you want to go talk to the county. You want to go talk to the county attorney, because that's what the sheriffs do, whether you know it or not. Every sheriff I talk to, they don't know much about the common law. They don't know much about the Constitution. And every time they have a decision outside of their norm, they call up the county attorney to find out what to do. That's what they do. Okay, If you didn't know, well, now you know. So we'll let them know. You can call the county attorney if you want, but don't forget to call us next, because where the county attorney goes wrong, we're going to let you know. And then you have a choice, okay? You can either resign, you can obey us, or you can obey the county attorney and we'll indict you. You see, again, they have a choice. It's a free country, whatever they want to do. So after that, then it becomes another thing. Hopefully at this point we got most of the state going, you know, after a couple of weeks you get most of your state going, at least a majority. As long as you got a majority, you're good, in good shape, and we can start working on our capital. And then that's another plan which we do kind of touch on in our workshop, but we're not going to touch on here at this point in these documents. We'll get more in-depth of that a little later on. It's just not wise to get too specific on that part of the plan. But we have a plan. Now, someone sent me something, Seeking Inferior Remedies. Let me see who wrote this. I thought it was so good that I put it up here. The author's name is on here. I heard this guy before, Ron Branson. I believe he's, looking down the bottom, he's the guy that's involved with National Jail for Judges. Okay. So I have heard his name before, but someone sent me a paper that he had written, and he was right on point, so I posted it up here. So again, that's another paper. But these papers, this is the information. This is the information you need in order to be a jurist. You need to know about these things. You know, you need to understand the enforcement. You need to understand what our principles need to be, and what the Constitution, what our rules that we're going to take an oath on. And we need to know what the plan is and how to do an indictment and a presentment and how to put out summonses. And then we also have one other thing on here, and that's the flyers. It's a one-page flyer. You cut it in half, and so you get two flyers per page. So that works out, a little economically. So if you print out 100 pages, you cut them in half, you get 200 flyers. And that's good to hand out to people, especially now, to get them involved. We hand them out at the elections. I hand them out whenever we do a presentment, and I hand some other papers out too, which I should add in here. I'm going to add some other flyers that I hand out when I go do a presentment. I hand out something on Ron Paul talking about the fact that we have foreign troops on our soil. I hand out an eighth grade test that'll blow your mind if you haven't seen it, and maybe a few other papers that I hand out. But I'll get that up there now too. Again, we have 42 states on board. We need to organize. We need to get on the phones every day. Do not count on emails to communicate with people. Forget about it. It's not going to work. You know, I can't tell you how many emails I sent out to people, then all of a sudden I make a phone call and they say, huh, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah, I think I saw some. Well, I didn't know. You know, they're confused. You know, forget about it. Get rid of the confusion. Make the phone call. Make the plans. Follow up. And once you follow up with someone two or three times, at that point, now they're woken up, they're on board, they understand, and they're moving. Otherwise, they're lumps on a log. And don't think that you got an army behind you because you're sending out a bunch of emails. Forget about it. You know? Okay, I guess with that, that's pretty much it. The key thing is that we have to stop running off half-cocked. I'm telling you right now, these people, I want them to separate themselves from me. I want no part of them. They're going to blow it for everyone else. They're going to make nothing but a mockery of what we're doing if they go out just chasing for vengeance on a witch hunt. It's not what we're doing. We're here trying to do it the Lord's way. We're trying to do it with a sense of justice, with a sense of mercy, and with a sense of honor. And without those three things, we are nothing. At least with those three things, we have a lot of hope. All right, let's open up the phone lines now. If anybody has a question or a comment or anything they might want to share, everybody please try to keep yourselves muted because it's pretty good. It's been pretty quiet. But keep yourself muted, and then when you want to talk, just unmute yourself. But let's go right ahead.
John?
Yes, who's talking?
This is... Jeff in Georgia.
How you doing, Jeff?
Okay. I sent you the Skype. I tried to call you today about the notice and demands.
Right.
I know you're kind of busy.
I somehow missed it. I was running around. I had some doctor things that I didn't know about and a couple other little things, but I have been here most of the day in and out. But, yeah, I'll try to connect with me tomorrow. Let me see what my day looks like tomorrow. Try to connect with me tomorrow.
Yeah.
I got an appointment with the doctor in the morning with my wife, and other than that, I'll be here most of the day, but I got to leave early afternoon for Brooklyn. We have an election in Brooklyn tomorrow night.
Okay. Because basically, as I said in my Skype message, I got several things going on and really need to try to get connected to get some of these situations resolved. We got a couple foreclosures going on, and I got a court case. The prosecutor judge hasn't replied to me for discovery about jurisdiction or anything, and I got some property tax issues. So I need to get those things addressed and try to get some of this stuff off my plate.
Okay. All right. Well, give me a call. We'll see what we can do.
Okay.
Anything else?
Nope, that's about it.
Right. We used to have a page on our website that was had a lot of court cases on it, and we got a lot of court cases we never even got up on that website. I'm going to try to find the time. It's not going to happen this week, but maybe next week I'm going to try to find the time to spend a couple hours and kind of create a page and put all these documents up there. And so when people have a particular court problem, they can go up and they can look at cases that are similar and learn how to write the framework. And it's good to read these things is good for the law anyway. You see how the courts work. And everybody should know how the courts work. Even though we're going to take control of things and bring the courts back to justice, and you don't have to worry anymore at that point that you have to sue the government anymore because that's going to be a thing of the past. Nevertheless, there's contract law, there's commercial law, and you need to know how common law works in those arenas, and you need to know procedures and process and all of those other things. And so anyway, anybody else? Got a lot of people in here on the phone. Someone must have a question. Let me look to see in the
text.
Hey, John? Yeah.
How many we got in New York now, and do you have a game plan for filing?
Yeah, who's talking first?
This is Paul in Orange County.
Okay. Oh, Carl. Didn't even sound like you.
It's Paul.
Yeah. Who? Oh, Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Carl. Okay, yeah, that's why it didn't sound like Carl. Yeah, we're close. We have I'm going to read off as if the counties that I know. Well, look, Green is done. Columbia's in the next week, a couple of weeks. Ulster should be in the next couple of weeks. Dutchess is done. Orange is done. Putnam will be done in 2 weeks. They're on the board. Westchester is this week in 2-3 days. Bronx, I'm going down next week. Brooklyn is in. Suffolk is in. Well, Brooklyn's tomorrow. Suffolk is done. Nassau is now on board. We got movement in Nassau. I don't know why Richmond isn't in yet, but I'm going to work on that. Maybe I'll make calls tomorrow. But Rockland is already in. The only one we really lack on at this point south of Albany is Sullivan. We do have someone out there, and I just haven't had the time to connect, but I do have a few people. I'm going to push, and I'm going to go out there hopefully in the next week and run the election for them and get them on board. Now, other than that, we have other counties going. I'm going to be visiting the central part of the state, Oneogda, however you say that, Onondaga, I think it is, or something like that. I think that's the name of the county. Anyway, there's about 4 or 5 counties represented there. These people are very anxious to hear what I have to say. And so we're going to try to unite that, get that together. And that's this week I go up to see them. I just was speaking to people in Niagara. I know I got someone in Erie and a few other. We got Wyoming. We also have back into the central already, Chemung. We have a lot of counties, but I haven't heard on some of these counties. They're moving towards it, but they haven't got back to me with a date. I'm going to have to call them and push them for the date. It's time to just book it. Just book it. You got 3 people, book it. If 3 people show up and that's it, that's fine. But book it and call everybody and tell them to come and tell them to call people and come to the election and then just do it. It's real simple.
Well,
anybody else?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I comment?
Yes, go right ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm glad to be on. This is Ed. Anyhow, I missed it. I just got in, and I apologize for being late. I was on another one. But I sent you that information. Hopefully you got that information on the sheriff stuff I've been putting out.
Yes, I got some stuff from you, yep.
Okay, that's all I wanted to say. I'm listening because the whole point is that if we don't start uniting ourselves, there is no children's future. So
that's right.
I'm just going to sit in the background because I'm still filing my papers and doing my crazy stuff with the tax that they're still trying on me. But people got to understand, this is not just me. It's about you, too, because they do it. If they get one down, they go after everybody, and they do it single-file order. They don't go after them in groups. It's one at a time. And so if we could start getting back to them one at a time, that's how we're going to be able to do it on the local level. And
right.
I thank you, John, for your time.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, we're 25 seconds to midnight. I want to tell you, the clock is ticking. There is not much time. If we do not lock this down before they lock us down, and trust me, they are locking us down right now. Understand that. All this craziness you see going on right now is locking us down. The fact that they are bold and they're saying, yeah, we're listening to your phone calls. So what? Now, they're not saying it necessarily that way, but that's exactly what they're saying. Because the news media reports about it and doesn't offer any solution. Nobody's out indicting these people. And then you feel, you're sitting here and you say, well, what can I do about it? And you're trying to, and you can't do a damn thing. Everybody is just stuck. Trust me. This is communist right now. This is Marxist. This is Nazism. They are locking you down right now. It has begun. So it's time to stand and let's get this thing done before we won't be able to get it done. Okay? So let's do it. Now, we mentioned earlier, we can't continue on Talk Show. My controls aren't working, but I am getting a recording on Skype through Pamela. So we got a recording and I'll put it up. But let me tell you something. We got to go back to the webinar or some kind of paid program. And so everybody can afford $5. Everybody can afford $5. If you can afford $20, fine. If you can afford $5, $10, whatever it is, just go out, donate it, and let's get this webinar thing back up, okay? And there are other bills, a lot of bills, and I'm having a tough time with them right now. I'm telling you, I've been out of work for over a year now, maybe a year and a half, and I need help to keep these things going. So everything costs money. Anybody else?
Hey, John. This is Jeff.
Yes.
In
How you doing,
Washington.
Jeff?
Hey, I had a chance to look at the any meeting conference call software. Any meeting.
Okay. Any meeting?
Any meeting. It'll take 200 people, and it's free. You don't have to pay for it. You just have to look at the ads while you're using the console.
Oh, I can live with that.
Yeah. So the only downside other
stuff?
Than that is that it does not record. But there's other ways to record the call. I mean, I've got like a $200 recorder that I can just
sit right here. I can record. Is it a phone call in?
No, you can call on the phone, but it's through the internet too.
Internet and phone.
Yes, you use the meeting controller. You get a pop-up dashboard that allows you to mute people and unmute them. So
it's anymeeting.com.
Yes.
Okay, I will check that out this week.
Yeah, I'm using it right now. It looks pretty good. It works pretty good. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Hey, anybody else want to pipe in? It's *6 to unmute yourself and *6 to remute yourself. I'm wondering if, because I see everybody seems to be muted. I'm wondering if they're permanently muted. I'm going to unmute everyone just to make sure that you got controls. Everybody should remute themselves, but let me see what happens. Well, that's not helping either. All right, someone that's muted, unmute yourself and let me know that you can unmute or mute yourself. Someone do that.
Okay, John, I'm unmuted.
Okay, unmuted.
Okay, so you were able to mute yourself and unmute yourself. Okay, great.
Yes.
So that's fine. All right, anybody got anything? I'm only going to get redundant here and repeat myself at this point. I'm kind of fixated on this fact that we need to step up on this thing in honor and we need to all get on the same page, communicate, and get our states built up. We need to take control. We need to get the word out. I mean, I don't know. I think it's worth repeating over and over again, and I'm going to repeat it as often as I can. So let's get other people. Look, you got to get people. If you're on this call right now and you look around, or I don't know if you can tell. Well, most people are coming in on the phone, but you can't tell. You need to find out the other leaders in your state. Are they coming on this call? And if not, why? Because we're not going to take back this country without being united. You know, there's a saying that's been around ever since I was a kid, united we stand and divided we fall. So, you know, we have to get together and organize. You know, they got to where they are because they're very well organized. You know, the elite is very well organized. They do have a lot of...
years to do it, too. They've had a couple of 100 years to get there, too.
Well, that's true, but they are very well organized. They've taken over all of our strongholds. They've taken them over. All of the institutions, anything worth anything, they've taken it over. You know?
Well, they're incredibly stupid, too. There's another side to that. They're incredibly stupid. All the money that they spend on poisoning us in our foods and everything, they could make a lot more profit without having to do all the research for that and putting it in the food. So to me, that just shows me that they're not very smart.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. And yeah, they are kind of blinded in another way, but they're genius in another way, too, in an evil way, of course. And
right.
And they have a lot of people that they keep dumbed down that work for them. The right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing, and that kind of sometimes causes a problem, too.
John, one thing I was thinking the other day is about the all the cops out there and all the people that maybe authorities that are listening now. There's one thing that crossed my mind the other day. There's a lot of police brutality that seems to be standing up now. It's going rampant. So we got police officers killing people for no reason at all. So my problem with that, police officers, if any are listening, is why is it that you will kill somebody before you'll pick up a law book and read for yourself what the laws are? I mean, you guys are out there hurting us.
I hear what you're saying, but they've been trained not to do that. We've been trained. Look,
I'm going to untrain them.
I know very few people who read anymore. I mean,
well,
you give some
point. You'd rather kill somebody.
The
officers would rather kill somebody than pick up a book and read. Okay?
Well, absolutely.
And I got a problem with that. And you officers who are doing this, you should be ashamed of yourself. You really should be.
You see, they're all bullies. They do a psychological thing on these cops to see who they're getting in, and they pull them out of, you know, first of all, they control our schools, so they create lots of cops. It's a certain mentality for a cop. Very rarely do you get a good cop in there, but you do get a good cop from time to time, like a Sheriff Mack or somebody. But the bottom line is that they really are looking for people with low IQs, and they're looking for a particular psychological makeup. And those people will excel because of that. Now, and that's the guy that's going to be out there that's going to be a bully, okay? And these are the problems. And they will create more havoc amongst the other cops, and people follow them. You know, it's mob rule is what it is, and it's the same thing's going on with our police force. And the only way we're going to fix that is to put a few of these guys in jail. It's going to have to happen. And once you put one or two of them in jail in your state, believe me, it's going to move around the whole state real quick, that people aren't going to put up with this no more, and the common law jury is going to go after them. So once they realize that, that's what's going to happen. So
right. Right.
By the way, if anybody wants to unmute, Carl, I see you got your hand up, but I can't unmute you. You unmuted yourself. You could do that with star 6.
Yeah,
did you want to say anything else, by the way?
No, I'm good. Thank you, John.
Okay. Anybody else out there? Star 6 to unmute. Star 6 to mute.
John, I want to respond to what he just said. You know, there was a guy named Paul in the Bible that used to kill Christians, and God got a hold of him. You know, we got to pray for these people, too.
Absolutely.
We can pray the prayer that, you know, Lord, you know what to do with them. If you want to heal them and they repent, or if you want to destroy them, it's up to you. But it's in your hands, not mine.
Well, that's why I'm posing the question. listening out there for the officers to hear tonight is that, you know, take a good look at yourself and notice the guy beside you or even yourself.
Absolutely.
You're willing to pull the trigger and kill somebody, but you're not willing to pick up a book and read. So look at yourself real hard, and hopefully you'll come around and understand. Because I'm really upset with what's going on with all the killing right now. It's got to stop. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about it. And again, you know, we must lead by example. And if we lead by example, that will spread, and other people will lead by example, and it'll eventually spread. And we have to regain our schools back to be able to bring back justice and teach our children how to be honorable. You know, they don't teach our children anything of honor in school. You know, so we have to get our schools back, and we have to teach them about honor. We have to teach them about giving back to the community. That they at least one time in their lifetime should become a committee man. It's a two-year thing, and it's not a lot of time, but everybody should become a committee man at least once in their life, and everybody should be in the jury pool, everybody, okay? This is your job. This is what the people do. This is where we consent or not consent. This is where we control our government. So that's the bottom line. Yeah.
Hello, this is Frederick from Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a question in the chat room about the voter registration. If we have to basically, you know, terminate voter registration to be a jurist.
Right. No, we don't get involved in that. That's nothing. Look, the king could do whatever he wants. Okay.
Hey, Frederick, this is Jeff Ball. I've spoke to you before. You're in Washington with me.
Yep.
If you want to hit me up with an email, give me a call. We'll have a talk about that.
The king can do whatever he wants. Look, this is our country. Voting registration goes back over almost 200 years. It goes back to the beginning of our country. You know, I got a hold of the law book back in 1909 here in New York, and it virtually hadn't changed for 100 years, okay, until 1911, and then a lot of progressive stuff in there. But in any event, they always registered for vote. Now, if someone came in and they wasn't known or wasn't registered, you know, the people who were the poll watchers back there, which really was the chairman, they would prevent people from voting. And they'd say, whoa, you know, if they didn't know who you were, you wasn't registered, you had to go down to see the judge. And there was always a judge standing by, I would presume, during the elections. And you had to do an affidavit before a judge, okay? Then you can come back with that affidavit, and I guess something signed by the judge, however that worked. But they had a plan on that. And then they'd let you vote, but they held your vote on the side. Your vote did get counted, but the point is they wanted to make sure that people wasn't coming in and voting more than once in different areas, I guess, and, you know, any kind of voter fraud. And that's the way it was. Now, here's the unfortunate thing. You know, we have in order to get to become a committee man in the Republican or the Democratic parties, and those are the two parties that control everything, that's where you want to take the power from. In order to become a committee man, you have to be registered to vote in one of those parties. And if you're not registered in that party, you can't become a committee man. So now we lost another way of controlling our government through the committee man process. That's a way to consent, because those are the people who decide who they're going to put in office or not, who the papers they're going to walk, and who they're going to help to get in. And, you know, so who's on the ticket? Those are the people that decide that. And so if we give up our voting abilities, that's another problem. Now, it is true that on the voting paper it says U.S. citizen, and we check, yes, I'm a U.S. citizen. Well, I want to tell you something. I am a U.S. citizen, but I'm a U.S. citizen as defined under the Constitution and as our founding fathers understood it. They called us sovereign citizens. That's what they called us. And if you read the Constitution, you'll find that they refer to the United States as the United States of America in the preamble. And it's understood thereafter that it's of America, because they mention the United States numerous times throughout the document, and they leave off of America. But it's mentioned in the preamble, so it's understood it goes throughout. This is the United States of America. Now, also, they talk about being a United States citizen in the Constitution. And what they meant by that is that you were a citizen of one of the states. and therefore of the United States. That's what they meant. And that had a very special connection to it, because it meant that if you were a citizen of New York and you went to Pennsylvania, you had all the rights of Pennsylvania, all the rights of Jersey when you went to Jersey or Connecticut or to Texas or to California. You see, you have all the rights of any state you travel through. You are as if you are a citizen of that state. But you're a citizen, in my case, I'm a citizen of New York. I'm domiciled in New York. But I'm also a co-citizen with Connecticut and all the other states because I have the rights. We're United States. And that's what it means. Now, of course, they play their fiction game, and they play with words. And when I go to court, I don't use the word citizen. I use the word people. I don't use the word resident. I use the word domiciled. So I'm careful there. But once we take our courts back and we bring it back to the natural law, bring it back to common law, now we can the fiction bubble will burst. It'll be no more. And we can talk however you want to talk. And they're not going to pull the fraud on you because they're not there to pull the fraud on you. So I wouldn't bother, you know, if you're going to get rid of your voters thing, because there's a big movement on that, and if you want to get rid of the voting thing, then don't be a hypocrite. Get rid of your driver's license too. Turn back your Social Security number in. Stop dealing with banks. Don't use the letters of credit, which we call money. They're actually debt. Don't use that. If you're going to don't just take it halfway, do it all the way. Go back and somehow get your birth certificate rescinded. There's a lot of work for you to do to get rid of that citizen thing around you. You'll spend all your time and your life trying to get off these papers, and for what? You know, I know someone who's done most of that, and they don't drive, and they depend on other people to come pick them up and to drive them somewhere here or there. Well, I think that's a little hypocritical.
Hey John, you know? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I just got in on Skype. I could not get in on the net at all. Well, I got in on the, on our site. I could listen, but I didn't have any talking capabilities.
Okay. Yeah, we've got to leave TalkShoe. We got to do something.
I've been screaming and nobody hears me.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, tell the story about the undercover boss. People seem to understand that.
Well,
you ever see
it.
That show, Undercover Boss? Where the boss pretends to be an employee and he goes in and he's like janitor for a day and he screws everything up and all that. And some of them, a couple times, he even got fired. Now, if you're the CEO of the company or the king of a nation, so to speak, and you go in undisguised like the prince and the pauper, and you become you decide to play that you're going to be the garbage man for the day, and you foul it up so bad that your quote-unquote boss fires you. Are you really fired? No, you're not fired because you own the company, right? Well, it's the same thing with the driver's license. If you want to have a driver's license and you want to participate in that particular thing, and really it's only for commercial stuff. See, that's what they got lies and fictions, right? So, you know, when you're driving commercially, yeah, the government has a right. You know, we have put the government there, and we told them you can regulate commercial activity for our benefit. So, you know, that way you could control it. Driving, when you were driving cattle across the plains, that was a paid for occupation, and they used to have rules and regulations about how long you could graze them on any particular piece of property, whether it's private, you know, or U.S. So that was a regulated thing. But when you were riding your horse across, they couldn't stop you. They couldn't tell you anything. You see, because you're not engaged in an activity that we gave them a right to regulate. And everybody has forgotten this, you know. And so the other thing is, under the law, you're not expected to do the impossible. So we've run our lives using these things, but that doesn't give up our sovereignty. And if they think that it gives up our sovereignty by having that stuff, the fact of the matter is when you went and got your driver's license, they didn't tell you were giving anything up. So therefore, it's fraud. So, you know, it's a stupid argument that, I mean, they're not going to bring it up. I understand it's not stupid, but the thing is, I don't think they'll ever turn around and say, well, guess what, buddy? You're under our jurisdiction now because you got a driver's license. Because if you got a case that's going on and they said that, everybody would say, what the frick are you talking about? Well, guess what? Well, I don't want mine either. So they're not going to bring it up. And like they say in law, I think, I don't know who said it, Lincoln, if you don't want to talk about it, don't bring it up, you know? And you know, and then you bring it up and you got to start defending yourself and you look like a kook. You got to get rid of everything. And people look at you like you got three heads because this is one of those guys that doesn't want to drive with plates and stuff. And, you know, eventually with that, we'll be able to put cardboard plates on a car going not for hire. But you know what? It took them 100 years to get us this way or 200 years, you know? It's not going to happen overnight, you know. I mean, you could certainly live in a community where you've trained your law enforcement and your representatives, where everybody drove around with no place that wasn't doing any commercial activity, and they have certain places, certain people like Bagnarek drive around with no plates in his town, and nobody messes with him because he's drug him through the court and won so many times they don't want him in there because every time he goes in he puts a bill in and he wins. So it's not. It's not a lie what I'm saying. You can do it. But you don't want to spend your whole life's work proving that you can do it. You know what I mean? It's not worth it. Anyway, I'll shut up.
Weigh in on
I got
that?
In, I said my piece. Huh?
Can I weigh in on that?
Sure.
Well, because I'm under that right now. I was picked up. Yeah. That video of the incident. But more than that, from my understanding, my education, it's the most basic liberty we have that is the foundation for all the other liberties. And until we straighten that one out, all the rest of them will just kind of fade away. And Justice Tolman wrote pretty good about that, in saying that it's unalienable, and they're leaning all over it. And then you've got the DMV committing a non-disclosure.
Right.
Well, we don't want to get too much into these discussions. We want to focus more in on what we're doing. But, you know, the bottom line on all of these issues, they're going to, when we, the people, take back this country by taking back our judicial system within our counties, once we do that, all of this becomes a non-argument because it's irrelevant. You could do what you want. Look, even after this thing, I'm going to keep my commercial driver's license. A couple of reasons. A, it's a great form of ID. Everybody accepts it, okay? And B, in case I want to engage in commercial activity. And believe me, from time to time, well, it's been a while, but usually I do. Often I do engage in commercial activity. And so if I have to drive a truck or something, you know, I've got my commercial license to do so.
And you make a great point there that there's enough real need for commercial drivers that, to be regulated, that there'll be enough business and that they really won't be losing anyone but the people whose rights they're violating. And let's also take into mind that if someone gets into a pursuit being chased by a cop or a sheriff just because of a license issue, that's risking people's lives. And it's something that if he understood, he didn't even need to have if he's in his private capacity. So really this fraud's in people's lives.
Well, of course, it's a major problem of right now, but it's not going to be anymore because when the next cop that comes before. Look, some cop goes out, or a sheriff or somebody, or just a cop, and they're just not listening, they're not paying attention, okay? Well, they try to arrest somebody that may be carrying a gun or driving without a license, and maybe by some prosecutor that hasn't heard somehow, they bring it before the grand jury. Well, guess what? We're going to protect the victim. We're not going to protect those people. Matter of fact, we're going to put the cop and the prosecutor onto the carpet. And we're going to consider indictment on them for violating this individual's unalienable rights, for detaining
right.
them, for kidnapping them. Okay?
Which goes into what you were saying about shutting down the military tribunals, because this is I'm under martial law right now. I'm not allowed to get in my private conveyance and go about my business. So that's martial law.
Absolutely.
I'm basically on this form of home arrest. I can go as far as my legs can carry me, or I have to depend on somebody for a ride. And I'm not able to prepare for my case, which is a denial due process. We got a county recorder's office down here that won't record records.
Those will all be the things of the past once the grand juries come in power. The people come in power. That's the key. The people come in power. And, you know, I have people talking to me, well, who's the 25 and who's going to decide? Well, no, it's not the 25. It's not any one person deciding. It's a jury pool. It's a jury pool for the trial jury. It's a jury pool for the grand jury. Yeah, it's true that there's got to be four people, and this is kind of our calculation. I think this is pretty much the formula, and we're going to write something on this But there's four people that control each jury. And it's not that they control each jury. They're really doing all the administrative work. There's a tremendous amount of administrative work that needs to be done throughout every week, day in and day out, okay, to keep things going. Someone's got to call the people up to see who they can get for when they need a jury. Someone has got to keep the books and maintain all of – and someone's got to go out and do the investigation. We have to constantly be out going out and investigating in different agencies, different governmental offices and municipalities and so on. And we need to make sure that they're obeying the law. Well, four people in every county. There'll be two foremen and two secretaries. There'll be a lead foreman, a lead secretary. Obviously, the person with the most knowledge, and of course, it becomes a full-time job. They get a paycheck for it. Obviously, the people with the most knowledge need to take the higher rank of secretary and foreman. And the other ones would be learning, and they'd replace them as things went on, and two more people will come in, or whatever the case may be. But ultimately, every time a grand jury is called, it should be those four plus 21. And those four are really there to guide everybody, to make them, when they don't understand what the principles of the common law grand jury is, and they need to understand the rules. Did they take the orientation class? Right now our orientation class is 8 hours, but we're going to reduce that down to 4 hours once we get all the elections done, because half of it is about the election and the plan to take control. Okay?
John, could I add something?
Yeah.
I'd like to add something for everybody to understand, too. This is your children, too. So you're supposed to educate your children throughout all the documents.
Right.
All right? This is not – and I talk to people all the time. Oh, I had this problem, and I've dealt with literally hundreds of people over the years. Once they got their case solved, they just ignore everybody else because it's all about me. And until we understand the fact that it's about your children, and if you don't educate your children to do this, to pass the responsibility for them to pass to their grandchildren, your grandchildren – you have no bloodline. You have no future. So this is not something that's an overnight fix. This is something that we have to continue for the next 1,000 years. All right? We're setting this, you guys, we're all setting an example here. So the point is that, the bottom line comes out to is, somebody needs to take a time and shift it around. If you got four people in your community, somebody does it 1 week, the next person does the next week. So it's not a burden. And make a charter on this. Work with each other, because the whole thing is the only way it's going to work if you work with each other in your community first.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
well,
you, John.
Well, John, let me ask you something since I'm coming in new here, and thank you for that comment. It's kind of more directly related to service to others versus service to self. As we, as you're bringing in people like me from other parts of the country, how do you propose you're going to change the website a little bit around so it's not such upstate New York, but more continental United States, including Alaska and Hawaii?
Yeah, well, we originally were a New York website, a New York group, and we had no intentions of going to the national end. We kind of got drafted into that, and I spent a couple of days dismantling one site and reconstructing another site. I tried to change as much as I could. But I don't have the time to go back and find every nook and cranny that really relates to New York. I do make the point that I use New York as an example, because you have to use some state as an example. But, yeah, we're working on – we have somebody, got a couple of people. I haven't checked in with them for a while. We're putting together a plan on a much better national website that is much more integrated, where we can do some communication, set some chat rooms up there. Get some things going, particularly for each state, where they would have control of things and access into the databases. And we're going to put together a better database, a database itself, because right now it's not really a database thing. I don't know what you would call it, but it's not. We don't have a database set up to make the database that we're using. We have a plan, and we'll put it together. Let me finish with it, though, because this is an important point. We do have a plan. We are going to put it together. And then what we're going to do at some point, once we get most of the counties elected, not necessarily all, but most of the counties elected, once we get the whole United States kind of connected and we got some control and we're able then to then move the control of the national side of it. One person should not have the control of the national website, which is what I'm controlling right now. But we formulated a plan, which we're going to draw up a contract, and we will shift the responsibility of an overseer. We'll call them an overseer, and they'll get that overseeing. It'll be a voluntary thing, and we'll get at least, do it in a lottery somehow. But it'll be, we'll just go around the 50 states, but 3 months at a time. They would oversee the entire national thing. It's their responsibility to make sure there's no shenanigans going on. Nobody's abusing anything. That's what their purpose is. It's sort of like a cop, so to speak. And any problems, they would deal with it, not necessarily the technical things, but they'll make sure the technical problems are dealt with and whatever the job thing requires. Yes. But
John,
the bottom line, let me just finish.
Instead of saying cop, say peace officer.
Peace officer, okay? Well, you know what I'm trying to say. But the bottom line is this. They will get it for 3 months. They will sign a contract, and it'll be a really hardcore contract. It'll hit them real hard if they break any of the rules. And after 3 months, they pass it to someone else. And after 3 months, they pass it to someone else. You see, this way, no one individual is involved in charge of anything. And really, they're just an overseer. They don't get to really say, well, this is how this is going to go. No, every state is controlling their own thing, but they need to get access into the national database for their own state. Maybe one individual in every state will have access into the national database, okay? And that would be something that the people of that state, of the so many counties that your state is made up of, and maybe it's something, you'll want to transfer to different people once a year or something. However you as a people work it out, that's your business. But this takes away the possibility of us being infiltrated and someone abusing the system and just doing crazy things. So that'll be that.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm really groovy on this. I know all the 13 original colonies bring us forward, so I really appreciate everything that started here. I'm going to mute now. That's about it. Thanks.
All right. Anybody else? Mics are open. Just hit *6, and you'll unmute yourself if you're muted. By the way, I see someone said in the text chat, I can get my chat to work, and I can listen but not talk. If you're coming in through your browser, you can't talk. You can only listen and text chat. In order to talk, you have to call in on the phone. The phone number is down on the bottom. You dial in. It says, the 724 number. You have to enter in that ID code, and your PIN's down on the bottom, too. You enter in your PIN, and then you can come in on the phone, and you'll connect up with your name in the chat room, and you can talk.
John, do we have anybody that can watch the chat in case there's somebody out there that can't talk and they can't come in any other way?
Well, that was your job.
I know, but I can't get in there. It won't let me in there. So anybody else that's out there...
Oh, Carl's here. Carl.
If you see somebody that's putting a question in the text chat and they're persistent and they want to be heard, maybe you should, pipe up and say, so-and-so has this typed in the text chat, so at least maybe they can get heard.
If anybody notices that.
That's my job. He's right, but I can't get in tonight. And
yes,
I'm sorry.
No, you can.
And I want to address that a little bit. We have to take over our counties, our towns and our counties first, and ultimately our state. And we are planning, when everybody gets constituted, that there are certain things that affect all of us first at a statewide level, and then secondly at a national level. Some of these things are going to become more important as we move along. We would prefer not to do stuff on the national level until we have our states sort of locked out.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, but there are certain things that they may try to do. For one thing, Obama's got the switch on the Internet, and this Internet has been horrible lately. And so it may come to us that we need to secure that right first. And the way you secure it, I think, is if you secure your state, you can go to the state and you can say, listen, if the federal government is doing anything within the state to mess with the Internet, because the Internet is where we are, and it's what we do, and it's everything. It's more important than even our right to read books and stuff today, because it is our books. People do everything on the Internet, and it needs to be protected as much as and every bit as every other part of the First Amendment. And so we have to make sure that they keep their fingers off of this. So on a statewide basis, we got to make sure that those local companies that operate the internet, we're going to go in and we're going to find out who's in there. And they're going to say, oh, well, this is national security. Listen, whatever they consider national security or whatever, I don't care. I don't even care if they're listening to us. But they had better not move and manipulate or edit or censure anything on it. I mean, I don't even want them listening. I mean, it's not right that they're listening, you know. I mean, if they're going to listen, the only way that they should listen is the way that they always used to listen, and that's what a warrant. You can't tell me that there's not, if there's an actual terrorist, that they can't get a warrant to listen to him. The trouble is if they switched it over and they call us terrorists, they call, you know, anybody who's fighting for their rights, you know, terrorist chatters high. Well, that's us talking. Guess what? We're the people, you know. I mean, they're teaching the law enforcement officers that Washington and Jefferson and them were terrorists. The Tea Party was a terrorist activity. I mean, what the hell? So it's going to be very, very important for us, and that may be an issue that jumps up ahead of us that we all have to deal with, even though we're not quite ready to deal with it, if you know what I mean.
Can I add something to that?
We'll decide that when the time comes.
Right. I'd like
What's
to
that?
Add something to that. Your utility commission. You always want to write your utility commission, and we should come up with a draft letter for everybody that can do it, on violating your rights, holding them liable, and if they don't stand up and do their job, including under 5 U.S.C. 2906-3331 through 3333, that way they are liable.
There
right?
you go.
That'd
be the first one we call in.
Hold on. Is that you, Ed?
Yeah, this is me, yeah.
Okay, listen, if you could write something up for that and get it to me, I'd like to think about something that we could write up so as a state comes into, you know, taking themselves over, the people taking the control over, then we should notify those utility companies within
right.
our state. Exactly that. So write something
up. They're the regulators through the FCC over the commission to protect our rights, and that's what they originally were set up to protect, the rights, not for the corporation but for the general public. And since the 1990s, after Clinton, it went the opposite way.
Can you write something up for me with that?
I'll come up with something here in the next. Yeah, I'll think about it and come up with something and have it, and I'll email it around, and you can email it around and have people proof it.
Well,
and we come up
look
with
at just look at you. You're the one that has the technical understanding of this, and I happen to know that's the case. Even more than I do. I don't have that technical knowledge of that area. But you seem to understand something. Let's put it together. Put whatever laws or anything you know, whatever you can put it together. I'll add my 2 cents on what I know about law once I see what it is you're saying, and then we'll write a paper and we'll get it up on our document page, and we'll make it in such a way that all of the leaders within their own counties understand that this is something we all have to get on. The grand jury has to make notifications to these utilities of the situation, and they have to cease and desist. They have to stop kowtowing to the federal government, giving them information and access into their system. That's got to stop, including the Internet. So if you could fix that letter up for me, we're not going to make it complex because you can't get up and debate this with 1,000 people.
No, I understand
just
that.
Just make
the
letter
point.
Up, get it to me. I'll put what I can. There's a few people that I counsel to that I can get it to them, see what they think on the legal end of things, and then we'll get it out onto the page, and we'll execute it.
Okay, and then one thing I'd like to add real quickly, on my website, Oregon Trackers, if you go to the civil rights link, those are the 35 cases that they talk on the bonds. So
O-R-G-A-N.
Yeah, O-R-E-G-O-N.
Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon Trackers. TRACKERS.com, and it's a civil rights link quarter ways down the page, and it has a 35, and that means any other, if your neighbors violate your constitutional rights, you can sue them and own their land.
Mm-hmm.
So just look at the civil rights. Thank you for your time, John. I'm passing it back.
Thank you.
Did he name that website again?
It's Oregon
Trackers. TRACKERS. Trackers.
Don't you remember we went
guys,
on it last night?
Did that guy from last night ever get in contact with you?
Excuse me?
Not sure. That came for tracking dishonest public employees. Have you contacted me?
Who was that, Corey?
Yes, that was me.
Yeah,
I was asking Ed, did the individual that had I was having a problem last night. Did he ever get in contact with him?
No, I never got anything from anybody last night on emails when I gave out my email.
Okay. He seems very interested.
So, but I'll get that up to you sometime tomorrow, John, and then cause I'll put in the codes and structures so that way, you know, it comes across on there's statutes and codes legally that protects us, but also too it protects them.
Okay, yeah, well, whatever you can, you know, put it together because we've got to get hardcore with these people. We've got to stop that. If we can protect the Internet state by state, protect our phones and our cables state by state, then that's what we need to do. And so as and that's another motivation for the people within their state and all the counties to get organized. And, again, I can't say this too many times. Everybody has got to pull in new people every single day or at least every week. Everybody has got to make contact with the other leaders throughout your state. Everybody's got to work together. You got to go to their elections, assist them, help them, work with them. They'll do the same for you. Get to know the other people. We'll set ourselves up, as I said, we're going to do something with ham radio soon, and we'll set ourselves up across the country with ham radios, and we'll be able to communicate under serious emergency conditions through the ham radios. So let's do it, and we need to do it now. There's no time to wait for this. We have to move now. The clock is ticking with 25 seconds to midnight.
My county here, somebody got the bright idea to outfit all the emergency centers with ham radio. Now, ham radio is basically our radio, the people's radio. They call it citizens band. I know everybody hates that citizen word, but that's what it is. And it's very helpful, and we already know how it works because it's worked in Russia and Romania and Poland and these different places. It was the ham radio that stayed up and the communication that they couldn't find. And you know, in any you talk to any general that does, you know, strategizing, communication is paramount. You don't have communication, you're done, you're dead. You know, that's a very important thing. And ham radio is something that we could get on and we could do this. The only thing that you're not allowed to do on ham radio, and again, the FCC is in ham radio. They're supposed to protect our system. And actually, I think during 9/11 over here, the ham radio guys were the only ones that got out. We had law enforcement using that. But what's good about if your county's willing to put it in and even spend your tax dollars, I took a little knee-jerk reaction when they said they're going to spend our tax dollars on putting ham radios in, and then I said, what, am I crazy? It's my money. And if they put citizens radio in, guess what? If the cops and everybody has to go on citizens band, there's no secret crap going on in your neighborhood because he's going to be on a radio that's right in your living room. It's like a scanner, but it's two-way, and you can talk back to him if you have to. And if you just follow the etiquette and use your call signs and stuff, guess what? You're going to know what your cops are doing. You're going to know what everybody's doing. You're going to hear everything. We're going to hear each other. And guess that's the biggest neighborhood watch. And I mean, you know, why shouldn't we hear all that? So I understand if they're doing an operation and they got to go on other communications, they have that available to them. But the fact that they will use that for emergencies and their main communications, you know, it's just like having a police scanner in your house. The only thing is it's two-way. And ham radio, by the way, if it's an emergency, you can transmit. You can transmit on police bands in an emergency. That's a given. That's a right. You know what I mean? They can't tell you that you can't go on a 9-1-1. If you could transmit on an emergency thing, you're allowed to do it in an emergency. What do you know, you're stuck out on a boat somewhere. You're not going to call and say, "Hey," you know, or use the police bands. You're allowed
you're
to do that.
You're telling the truth. Yeah. I used to be a radio ham, so.
Right. So I think it's important. It's something that's very hard for them to mess with because there's so many different, you know, bands and frequencies that you can use, and it becomes virtually impossible for them to control it. I mean, they could throw it. I think the Soviet Union for years ran a jamming signal on one of the meters that I know they used to complain about it. That kind of went away. I guess they finally got global enough they decided not to do that. They probably figured it was better if they could hear things than put it around a jamming signal for everybody. I mean, but don't put it past them if things get hot and heavy for them to put a jamming signal in, you know? So you have to move to a different frequency. That's all. Whatever. Whatever we have to do. And, you know, I was going to say, we started this thing with New York committeemen, and we saw that the committeeman was the interface into the government for the people. I mean, we go to the voting booth, we think that's our interface. It's bigger than that. The interface was supposed to come from the communities, from the precincts, and the guy that you voted for to be your precinct captain or whatever, he was the guy that wadded, the guy that's going to run for a local office, and you could always bitch to your precinct guy because he's in your neighborhood, and he can go back and that's your plug in into your congressmen and your senators, because if he does something wrong and the party comes to him with so many precinct guys that go, hey, we don't like the crap you're doing. Guess what? You're coming due for election here. We're not going to carry your petition. That's the fear. They get ice in their hearts. I mean, there's other. It's even more powerful than that. I'm just giving you a little example. So the reason we ended up at this common law grand jury is because we realized after we looked at it that they turned that system on its head. They took something that was based on the mosaic system, which was tens of families and hundreds of families from the bottom up, and the only thing that got to Moses was something that affected everybody, and they turned it around, and they started dictating from the top, just like communism. So now we have a system where our candidates are picked by these top guys who are in bed with the corporations, and nobody that you ever pull a lever for, except maybe on the local level, isn't vetted first and carefully chosen, like the Wicked Witch of the West. These things must be done carefully. That's what they're doing to us. They're carefully picking our candidates, and instead of you and I picking them. So that system's broke. We went in to sue it. We tried to fix it, and what we found out is that the court system is as broke as the committeeman system is.
Well, you
and
know,
so,
when you think about this, they really trained us and helped us to get on the right track, because
yes,
by giving us that hard time, it forced us into the courts, and forcing us into the courts forced us to look at the judicial process. Then that took us into the common law, and then we found the grand jury, and so they gave us a real good training. We should send them a thank you letter.
Listen, all John and I have been doing for the past 4 years is rolling with the punches. Every time we thought we were at the end of a rope, or we gave them too much room, or we were a little lax and we didn't know what to do, you know, we let the rope out. Well, they took that rope and they basically put it around their necks and then gave us a way to pull it. And so it always ended up, you know, when there was something to climb over, a ladder appeared and we went up and we took the direction. Whatever opened up, we went. We never, this was never any kind of grandiose plan. We just, you know, we went opening doors is what we did, and we went where they led us, and like John said, that's why we're led here. I mean, we don't pretend to know everything, and as far as that goes, the biggest thing that we do is we do everything that we do it in the Lord's name, because we know that that's our protection, and that's going to be our success. And I mean, I know some people, you're bringing religion in and stuff. Well, you know what? This country was founded on an ideal, and it's on an ideal.
Unalienable rights brings you right to the Creator, to the governor of the universe.
Yeah. Well, if you don't like that philosophy, you better get warm with it, because that's the philosophy that's protecting your property, and your first property is your body. Your first right is property rights, and your first piece of property is your body. And then you need to own property to exercise the rest of your rights, because if I can own everything that you stand on, you don't have too much freedom to the rest of your rights, you know, even the rest of your property. So it fans out from there, basically. So we're here because we have to be here, because they, like John said, they pushed us here. We got an education in the courts, and every time we turned around, when the student was ready, the teacher appeared, apparently. And I just hope that you know, we're worthy of going further. And
yeah.
And I love that Chronicles where he says, if my people who call themselves by my name would just, you know, turn their face to me and ask
humble themselves and pray. Yep.
Right. I would have mercy on them and heal their land. You know, the other thing I realized going into all this common law and stuff, a lot of what you read there, it reads like law. It reads like a legal contract. It has a pleading and it has a wherefore, these prayers and sayings in the Bible. And basically, it is a covenant. And if you follow the prescription and you do this, this, and that, then this will happen. And it's almost a guarantee. And so far I have seen that, you know, thinking of it and acting like that, it seems to work because that's what we need to do. And so,
okay. Jeff, I have a question here coming in on the chat. And
thank you.
Take a breath. John, ProPilot handed out 100 flyers for the August 30th election. Do we have some sample flyers that we could look at?
Well, we have some flyers out there that I just put on the leaders. Let me see. What is it called? The Juris Document page. Okay. So it's on the left side. It's a new page we just added. It's right under Juris Orientation. It says Juris Documents. And on the bottom, we do have a flyer. I hand this particular flyer out at presentations. I hand the flyer out at the elections. And you can hand it out pretty much anywhere. I think it's as simple as I can get it. It doesn't get into a lot of detail, but it's enough to get someone interested if they read it.
Is that Frederick asking that question?
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, Frederick, this is Jeff. Hey, if you can't find it, I've got it. Hit me up in the email. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I got it right here.
Okay, there you go. Good deal.
And I'd like to add one more thing, you know. It's been a while since I made this announcement or this point, and when I did it last time, I got a lot of email from individuals that started to run their elections. Maybe I need to repeat this from time to time. Anybody that has an election scheduled, you need to send me the information by email. Send it to John at nationallibertyalliance.org. But I need to know the date, the time, and the literal address, the location, and what kind of building is a library, a town hall, whatever, with the address, okay? And I will post it on our meetup group, all right? Now, for those who don't know about our meetup group, if you go to nationallibertyalliance.org, on the top right side, it says Join Our National Meetup. Click on that, and you'll come to our meetup group, and there you'll get all of our email and notifications of what's going on around the country and different things. And if you get too much email, there is a way you can go into your controls, and maybe I should go through this real quick. Just go to My Profile on the top right, click on Emails and Notifications, and you can come down, and it says, mailing list. And you have a choice, as they are sent or in one daily email, okay? Whatever you do, don't click on Don't Send mailing list messages. Don't click on that because the purpose of this site is for communications, to use it for email communications, to set up a calendar. It's an automated calendar. It sends out reminders and everything on the events that are going on. So if you're getting too much email, just click in one daily email. And what will happen at some time during the day, you know, I'll imagine at midnight, I don't know, who knows, I don't know what time, but at some point, everything collected from midnight to midnight, all of a sudden you'll send out one email and you're not overloaded with email. And then you can, you know, if you have the time, you go through that stuff. And you should at least breeze through that stuff every day, see what's going on, and get the reminders. And as far as whatever goes on to the calendar, on the left side of our website, we have instructions. If you click on that little pudgy guy there walking with a cell phone texting, you'll get text messages. You could set up a way to get text messages of any of the events if that's what you want. So anyway, it's a pretty good, that's why we use Meetup. It is pretty good for that stuff. But again, if you have an election coming up, let me know. Also, once your election is done and you get your papers ready to file, take a copy of the main page, which is the declaration of the election, of the reinstatement of the common law grand jury in your county. Take a snapshot of that with your seal on it. Mail it to me. You find our mailing address or you can scan it in and email it. Okay, get me a copy, because those people, whoever send me that, they're going to get access into the database for their state. As soon as I know that you're an elected, grand jury, then I will send to that individual, one person for every county, the secretary or whoever's getting it, and they'll have access into the database for their state. Now, we're not set up to do that yet, so I'll be collecting those. I've only got a couple of people done that already, but As soon as we set it up where we can create usernames and passwords or something to give access, we'll get that going and we'll get that information out to those people. But without that paper, knowing that you're an elected grand jury, we're not going to give that access to just anyone. All right, any other questions, comments? Also, I want to remind people, take a look on our county organizers page. We got 42 states. There are 8 states we're not in. I'll mention them one more time. I mentioned them earlier. Wisconsin, Vermont, Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, North Dakota, Minnesota, and West Virginia. If you know anybody in any of those states, friends, family, whatever, give them a call. Get them out to our front page. See if you can get them involved and start something in their state. We need to get those 8 states on board. We want all 50 states involved. We're very close. I remember when we first started and we were talking about having maybe a half a dozen or a dozen states on board, and that was a big thing. We were looking to get to that halfway mark. We're past that halfway mark. We're almost at the 100% mark. Now, I do happen to know that in better than half of those states, there are people already in the system. They just didn't choose to be leaders. So, again, I'll ask to those people, you know, find a leader or take the leadership until you can get someone else to take control, but get involved. Let's get things going in your states. All right, *6 to unmute, *6 to mute. So if anybody wants to pipe in, click on *6 to unmute. You can talk. And keep your ears open or your eyes open to the Monday night call. We're going to try to change from this venue as soon as possible. We'll see what comes up. Maybe we'll start to get some donations and we'll be able to open up the, go back to the webinar. Or we'll look into some of these other things. But it appears to get something decent, even the free ones. At some point, we're going to have to pay to get something decent. Absolutely, once we get to, you know, become involved and take control to the states, we'll be getting budgets. Every county will set up a budget. We'll be talking about that and how to do that also. But you set up a budget and you give it to, I know in New York it goes to the controller, and you get funded for your operations. And so we'll get monies for that. And that should at some point start paying for our web service and also a communicational service like webinar. Now, webinar can be quite cheap if it's split among 3,141 counties. It'll be something like $50 a month per, probably even less than that. But let's just say $50 a month. But the state's going to pay it anyway. Okay, but we do want to keep the bills down because we don't want to put the bill onto the people any more than what we have to. But it definitely is a service that we're going to need. And each county will have their own access to be able to communicate with other people in their county. And you'll also be able to communicate on a state level, and we'll also be able to communicate on a national level. So we'll be connected with we'll purchase it as one, but there'll be, you know, like 3,141 licenses. Every county will have its own license to create its own webinar for your own people within your state. And this is the perfect kind of a platform to be able to come together to discuss potential cases and strategies. And, you know, I'm talking about webinar now. Strategies. You can share your desktop and you can show different documents and you can pass things back and forth through Skype. But you can also use that documentation to, you know, on your desktop to go through things and to direct people to different things. You could discuss cases and so on. And then when it comes down to actually dealing with a case, you need to go to the courthouse and deal with it from the jury room, you know, when you summons people and talk to them and so on. But anyway, it's good to be able to work from your homes, and that's the key thing, and that's what we'll be doing. We'll be working from our homes. But let me repeat this. I don't know if everybody understood this. There must be 4 people that come to the high knowledge and understanding of everything and how this process works it becomes a full-time job for them. They will get a salary, and they'll be working, you know, 5 days a week, even more if they want. But, you know, but the point is you'll be working 5 days a week, and there's a lot of administrative work, a lot of phone calling to do, organizing, investigations, everything. There's a lot of work for them. Well, it's also work, too. But, yeah, I think taking care of the people's business, being able to bring our country back is going to be exciting to do that.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah. Very exciting. And we will work with each other, you know, from county to county. So. Anyway, questions, comments, and keep your eyes on that document page. Read those documents. We'll be adding some documents as often as we can.
You said it was where, John? Go to the welcome and where?
Yeah, go to the website, National Liberty Alliance, and on the left side, you come down and you click on Juris Documents. It's the fourth one from the bottom.
Oh, I see it now. Oh, okay. Something new.
Yep, and we have all the documents out there. One of the most important ones is the Constitution of a Common Law Grand Jury. This is the rules. And anybody who disagrees with this, then they're probably in the wrong place then. But we did post this now. When you go and join, we have the rules there, and we tell everybody they should read the rules. But if they miss it, they can come right here to this page, Constitution of a Common Law Grand Jury. We kept it as simple as possible, but do not ignore the footnotes. You know, when you get into law, when you get into anything that's really involved with detail, it's all in the footnotes. That's where all the secrets are. That's where all the deep, the good red meat is at, right in there in the footnotes. So what I do when I get a document is I read through it, and I stop at every point reading the footnotes, okay? And then when I'm done and I read through the entire page or whatever with all the footnotes, I go back and read it without reading the footnotes. And then I have a really good appreciation of the meanings of what's going on that page. So learn to read with the footnotes. It's extremely important. Anybody else wants to talk, pipe right in.
Well, the one thing I'd like to add, too, on the elections, remember, if you sign on the outside of an envelope like we do in Oregon, your vote don't count. You have to sign the card of the voter structure you're doing for it to be lawful. If you sign an envelope on the outside, it's not lawful. That's how they get us triggered on the other side. I know I won election here in 2004, and then the state of Oregon wanted to charge me $14,000 to retain the mayorship because of the way it happened, because most people wrote my name in on it instead of did the chalk block, and there was a big deal on it, but for it to be lawful, you have to sign that card to make sure that you are the person that is making that decision instead of an envelope. So that's all I had to add on that one.
Okay, anybody else?
Well, I like that. Thank you, John, and your partners for everything, putting it together on your end. You know, because without people understanding that we actually have a right instead of privileges, and the whole point comes down to personal responsibility. And the other point, I can't wait to watch the drug and alcohol programs in, because that's another fraud we got in this country. It's all about personal responsibility.
Oh, yeah. It's all going to disappear. Let me tell you, this is a key thing to understand, okay? This is like David and Goliath. We're coming up with a pebble, and we're going to take down the giant. And
exactly.
It's not a big deal. Once we take control of the controls, and there are only two controls, the main control is the jurist. That's it, the judicial process. There's the political process through the committee man, there's the judicial process through the grand jury. And once we take control of the judicial process, we just, the fiction just disappears. It goes away. It is no more. They have no power. They've lost control. Do you understand that? This is huge. So you have to appreciate that. That's why we have to take control. First order of business is getting access into the court and sitting in that courtroom as far as in the jury room. The second order of business is the judge. then the prosecutor, then the sheriff, and then the people own the town again. We got justice back in the judicial system.
I think we ought to, too, work on the sheriff first, because the sheriff is over the judges. He's
no,
the
you can't. You got to trust me. He may. He doesn't know that, and the judge doesn't know that either. He doesn't think that.
Oh, no, some of them do know it, at least in Oregon.
I will take a principle from the gospel, okay? When Jesus came, he said before he can take down the house, he must first take over the house. He must first bind the strong man. The strong man is that judge. That's the first guy we got to bind. If we go after the sheriff first and we got an out-of-control judge over here, he doesn't understand the game yet. We got to straighten him up first. We got to bind him down by the Constitution. And once we bind him, now we're free because the prosecutor, he's an easy guy to take care of. It's either do it or don't, and that's it. With the sheriff, again, if he's a problem, it's easy to take care of him. But if we don't take care of the strong man of the house first, then we're doing it rear end backwards. So the strong man goes down first. That's the judge. He's the one that can. The judge is the one that orchestrates everything. Every problem in your county is orchestrated by that judge because that's where the power is. Or he is politically expedient. Everything is status quo. Any case that goes before that judge is status quo, and he gets special favors for that. Everybody kisses his rear end because he's taking care of everybody. He lets everybody know, I could be laying there with a knife in my gut, and that judge will still rule no cause of action, and they get away with it. Okay? So that's how he protects everybody.
Well, yeah, but also, too, what I'm saying is the sheriff is the only law enforcement for the county and region. He's above the judge, right? He's the one that has to go out and do the rest. He's the one that has to write the report. He's the one to make sure the grand juries are set up correctly, not the judge, not the court system.
Well, no. He doesn't have anything to do with the grand jury. The grand jury rules over him. I agree with
you. No, I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying is that the judge is just the mediator when it comes down to the cases.
But
that's
right
all
now, he's the gorilla in the county. Okay.
Well, no, he's worse than a gorilla, but yes, I understand your
point. We have to take the strong man first. That's the prescription we wrote. Everybody that has knowledge of this that I've met so far, they agree this is the correct prescription. The judge is the guy we got to – he's the only – look at the clerk will never come up against us. The sheriff will never come up against us. The prosecutor would never come up against us. None of them have authority to come up against us. The judge doesn't have the authority to come up against us, but he thinks he does.
Yeah, I'm playing the Bulldogs. Right? You got a point there.
Can I jump in on this?
We got to put him down first.
Can I jump in on this?
Go right ahead.
What I think, you know, I kind of agree with Ed in the way that you might. That is the problem here, is everybody focuses on the judge being the gorilla, and he isn't. And the sheriff is the constitutional protector of the town, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. He might not have the authority to come up against the grand jury, but he can sure make life real rough on you.
Okay, but let me explain something, and I can tell you this out of experience, okay?
The problem is always pass you in different directions. They ain't got nothing to do with the grand jury. You were doing this, or you were doing that, or you were doing this. And don't even visit your house a lot, and it's on. So if you don't have the sheriff taken care of first and foremost, then you're going to find...
Okay. All right, you've got a different philosophy. I'm telling you the prescription that we're teaching here, and we need to be uniform with this. You know, we have to have communications, we have to have organization.
Right, but the sheriff can arrest the judge.
Consistency, but that's not going to happen. The sheriff is a moron, and I don't care how nice a guy he is, he's still a moron.
Nobody's going to disagree with that. But
the bottom line is this. I'm telling you, this is what we're teaching here. And this is the bottom line. And I got to get a little harsh on this because we can't have six different ways to Sunday. This is one of the reasons why today I thought was an important meeting. And we started off. We have some chaos. We got some people that are half cocked. They're out of control. They come in. They're doing what they're not looking into the law. They don't understand the process. They don't understand where the power is. They turn around. They think that they went out and filed some papers, which everybody knows we should wait for a block, not one county on its own. They had to run out. They had to file the papers. And then they have to go out and they have to do two presentments immediately. They got the governor in an uproar. They got some other people, I understand, in that state in an uproar. and it's a problem. It's a problem for all of us. I'm telling you, we have
to. I know what you're talking about.
If we don't put that pit bull down first, if we don't bind the strongman, I'm telling you, the sheriff is not
the
strongman.
I see your point.
The judge is the strongman of the county. He's the guy who thinks his crap doesn't stink. He's the guy who thinks he's going to stop this whole thing until you smack him with an indictment. I'm telling you, that's the first guy you got to deal with. You got to get control of that courthouse. And until you get control of that courthouse, you have nothing. You have to get a seat in that courthouse. That's the first step. Then you have to get control of that courthouse. You don't go after the sheriff. If you don't have your own household under control, then you can't control nothing. So you have to control your house. The house is the courthouse. Extremely important. I can't impress on you enough on how important that is. Now, the sheriff is right on board immediately. You're going to befriend him in the first week anyway. The sheriff only, look, the judge takes one day, the prosecutor another day. On the third day, you're on the sheriff. Your house is in order now. By the end of the week, you got things pretty well under control. At least everybody knows that the king's in the house and we're starting to rule, and all the servants better shape up or ship out. You see, that's what we got to do the first week, and that does include the sheriff.
No, I see your point on that one, but also we got to remember that the sheriff is a key opponent too.
Well, yeah, in our plan, we have when we befriend the sheriff, we need to let him know he's top cops, especially if he doesn't know it. He needs to know that we, the jury, are behind him. The grand jury is behind him. We need to let him know that what that pit team that the president put together, don't worry about it. You just arrest them because we'll indict them. You're not going to get indicted. You're on New York soil, and New York will protect you. We will demand. We, the people, as the grand jury, if they took you and they kidnap our sheriff, take him to a foreign court in a foreign land, we will require him on our carpet within 24 hours with all of the people involved in that kidnapping. And we'll indict every single one of them. Okay? And if the governor tries to shut down the sheriff because he's obeying the Constitution over some baloney, you know, statute, okay, well, don't worry about it because we're not going to indict you. They can't do anything with you without going through the grand jury, and we will never indict. We also need to let him know, and this is all in our plan. I don't know if I detailed this on paper yet. I don't think I have, but we've spoken about it numerous times. You know, we have to let the sheriff know that we need to get back control of our county. And the sheriff,
you know what, John?
We need
now I get it. John, now I get it, because the sheriff is also obligated to carry out any of the orders that the grand jury is telling the judge to issue the sheriff.
That's right.
Exactly.
Well,
that's where his
that
orders come
he has
from
to order the marshals.
Exactly. It goes through the judge.
I stepped back for a minute, and then I said, wait a minute now. Since the judge is the one ordering the sheriff to do all this dumb stuff that they're out here doing now with statutory rape and,
we ordered
and
judge
being, you know, very unconstitutional doings, and grand jury controlling the judges over at the courthouse will control all the orders that the sheriff's getting.
Exactly.
And
if
he don't follow his
paper,
orders at that point, he's not following the orders from the judge and the grand jury.
And who's the sheriff going to respect? And when you take that judge and you pull him on the carpet and you turn him into a good little puppy, the sheriff's going to respect him. Because as far as he's concerned, you just put his boss down and made him lay down at your feet. And so he won't be afraid to do anything now. That judge is very intimidating because the sheriff thinks he has that power. He doesn't know any better. So
it's very intimidating when you have your military tribunal is being run by most, like here in my area, it's all bar card holding judges. I don't think there's even an exception one to the crowd. And, you know, that's where these guys kind of fit in, so I'll tighten it with their loyalty to the British Auxiliary Registry instead of, to the American people.
Anyway,
give us the most trouble? The lawyers, the bar.
They may do the most bitching, but they can't give us the most trouble because they don't have any power at all with us.
They don't. It's a contract.
Yeah.
And the sheriff has the ability to order the marshals to pick up anybody, too. So,
well, there
you
go.
Understand that part.
Okay, but anyway, we have to get the militia back up. And considering the touchy situation we're in right now, it seems wise to make sure the sheriff understands, at least temporarily, he should be in control of the militia. that he needs to start to create an organization to get the militia going within our county. We need to get our armories back up. We can go up and we can deal with the Senate and we can deal with the Assembly and we can make that happen again. But we have to turn it over to the sheriff until we as a people nationwide are stabilized. And of course, when we take Washington back, that means we'll be stabilized then. But once we stabilize, then the sheriff has to yield back the control of the militia and the control of the armories back to the people. And I know there's a plan for that, and I don't know what the constitutional plan is. Gerard, do you know what the constitutional plan is on that?
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, on the militia and the armory, it has to be controlled by the people. Is there a constitutional plan, so to speak? Is anything? Are you familiar with that, what the plan?
You know, I've heard things, but I can't tell you offhand if they're, you know, how valid they were. You know.
Well, it's a people thing. We do know that, so it's really not constitutional, and so it's the right of the people. But there must be some the way things worked 100 years ago. But we have to look at that, and we have to bring it back to that. But the militia needs to be reinstated, and the armories need to be reinstated. We need to be rearmed in the armories. We need lots of ammo. We need a bazooka. We need a plane. We need a lot of stuff, I think. Yeah, that may be extreme, but I think every county should have some heavy-duty artillery. Maybe just one piece. You put 62 counties together, you got 62 pieces of heavy-duty artillery, because we the people need to be protecting our borders and our country here in New York, and Jersey needs to do the same, and Connecticut and so on. So, but anyway,
you know, this whole thing does run on a logical way. Just like when you're in the service, that whole chain of command. You know, listen, a private could be in command if he's the last man standing. You know what I mean? He's the officer in charge, so to speak. And I know that. In the frontier in the West, that the sheriff did a lot of stuff because they couldn't. His hands were tied, so he would assemble a grand jury and bring the person he arrested to the grand jury, and they would hold trial right there, and the sheriff would actually assume the mantle of like the judge, you know what I mean? And the grand jury would become the jury, and then they would convict, and they'd be judge, jury, and executioner. But the only reason
that makes a lot of sense.
When there wasn't brick and mortar,
exactly.
And they could drag a guy 2,000 miles back to the east. So they didn't want to just go out and kill somebody. This guy's a murderer. Maybe he needs the death sentence. The sheriff didn't want to take that on himself. So he got 20, 25 people together. They heard the charges. The guy got to talk. You know, we did it civilized, like men, you know.
Well, right now, you know, the way the system works, it may be we have to really think about that a little bit, because this makes a little more sense. Look at when someone is arrested and the sheriff has custody of them, or there is a crime and there's a report made, because not everybody needs to be arrested under a crime. Depends on what kind of crime it is. Who does he really take it to? And I presume he takes it to the court. And why would the court? Well, I guess the court then takes it to the prosecutor, and then the prosecutor brings it to the grand jury. And that's acceptable, because that seems to be the way it works anyway.
Prosecutors are new in this country. Prior to that, before prosecutors and all this stuff, because this was in the 19th century,
mm-hmm.
Prior to that, they would have one central judge in the town or the community. And the old structure, the way I understand the way our old structure was, the city hall, the mayor, and the council. So it had to be brought to the mayor, and the council decided on the structure. That goes back to the 16th century.
Right, but someone has to bring it to the grand jury to produce it as a potential indictment, whereas the grand jury either indicts or ignores the case.
That would either be the sheriff or the citizens involved.
Well, that would mean that the sheriff would go bypass the court and go right. I mean, yeah, and go right to
the grand jury. That's right, because so, that's the way it went to. Because the grand jury made the charges at that point for it to go out.
Because
if you went to the judge, like today, that would be the same thing with the judge
we're
doing exactly today.
Right.
That's what we want
to
get away from.
We don't even need the prosecutor in the middle of this stuff anymore.
That's
right.
The whole point. We eliminate that. We eliminate all the attorney crap. because that way you don't need a public defender, because that means the whole court system, if anybody knows the court system history, that means when you go back, your neighbor, the people around you defended you. And I want to give you a perfect example. Measure 11, the state of Oregon, that went national, and all this crap in the 1990s, it was over my brother's murder, okay? When they changed all the court system to go with the crap they got today, it went from the, because when you went to court, it was between the jury, the 12-man jury, and the family to decide.
That's right.
The prosecutor was
exactly.
That's right. That's exactly. And if the guy had a good record, whatever, they made, and if the guy shouldn't have gone to jail, even though how horrendous it could have been, because he probably, when he got out, he would make amends going back to what the 15th century, what the Pope did, wiped it out. So you made amends. So that means if the guy had to sit out there and get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock in the morning to milk all the cows, all right, he had to make up that amends to the family for that loss.
That's
so
right.
That was his time loss.
That's
that
right.
That was time block, and he had to make the amends to them, not to the state like we got these road workers out there working on these public employees' homes and stuff.
And it's up to the grand jury to try to solve this problem before even sending it to the trial court to get the restitution put
together. Problem. That's what the city council structure was supposed to do with the cities involved, because they were supposed to go around and make sure everything was done. Brought to the mayor for that decision, and I know I brought this out in my campaigns when I ran. It's been in the media on the structure of the Constitution and the structure, like I said, and they're still up on YouTube with all the old articles when I ran for office and stuff. And we got to get back to the basics of the proper amends made for the victim of the circumstances. It's the amends to the victim, not to what we call the state or to some other identity. It has to go to the victim directly for the amends.
Well, exactly. And then that's the first order of business of the grand jury, is to see if they can't settle that and get the restitution process in motion and a contract agreed upon, and then execute it without having to send them to trial if the person is ready to confess and accept the restitution process. If not, then we send him to the trial, then he goes through a forced process, and that could be a lot more harsher than what could be worked out maybe between the grand jury and the victim to see what has to be done to amend them. So, yeah, that's exactly what our prescription is about. Because people, we don't need to be putting people in jail unless they're violent. We don't need to be putting people in jail. We need to have them out there working for the victim.
Well, that's the other point. When we got the counties, and see, the county structures with the cities and all this stuff, now they have incorporated everything going under the state fiction that we know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the frustration we're living, because the stuff that happens with your neighbor, all right, shouldn't be in the local newspaper, shouldn't be on national TV. I mean, all that is for sale, so that way people who have nothing in their life at all, period, end of story, the only thing they have is a TV set and a fantasy they live, they're going to be in somebody else's life.
Yeah.
You know, we don't teach respect anymore or responsibility to ourselves and our children.
Well, that's up to us now, and that's up to us taking control of our schools and taking control of our children, getting morality built back into the school. If you're a Jewish community, you might want to run it a certain way. If you're a Christian community, you might want to run it a certain way.
When it comes down to all of our areas on American soil, and I'm the only person who spoke in the special session 2008 on this. All right? It doesn't matter whatever your community is. Your community, all right, is not to be regulated under any religion.
But the point is this.
Freedom
the point is
across
this.
The board.
Well, you're absolutely right. But the point is this. You know, we have government not by the majority, but by the majority that participates. And if you're in a particular school district, and let's say there's 1,000 families, and 30 families show up to get the curriculum together to do the things, how are we going to teach our children? What book do we want to use? So on and so forth. You know, old school worked right out of the Bible to learn to read and write and get the pronunciation and everything else right out of the Bible. So,
in my community,
I'd want to go back to that. And if I can convince the people who come in to make those decisions to agree upon that, then that's what we got in our school. But definitely we have to have morality, and you got to teach morality, and you cannot teach morality without religion. You have to have the Bible in. And the interesting thing is this, even if it's just the Old Testament, You know, the Muslims agree with the Old Testament. The Jews agree with the Old Testament. The Christians agree with the Old Testament. So generally speaking, most of the religions of our country agree with the Old Testament. And
right.
And I'll tell you what, the Muslims agree. The Muslims believe that Christ is a prophet. And Christ said himself, you know, if you receive me as a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. Now, that must mean they're pretty darn close to the truth. I don't know exactly what a prophet's reward is, but nevertheless, it's a blessing of some kind. And it's the same thing with his works. You know, if you believe me for the work's sake that I do. And you know what? I haven't met a Jew that doesn't agree with the works of Christ.
Yeah,
he did good works.
But our blessing, this is my point on it, and I preach this very highly. God gave us, the way I look at what I preach, God gave us the Constitution, okay, to protect us from our employees. That, and I'm not saying, and we had the God come through our people who wrote the structure, that wrote these things, so we had the rights that even with our stock and bonds, we shouldn't be paying electricity or water bills today. This thing was already set up to protect us. The other point that I go on to is that we have the Ten Commandments, all right? That's the most rational document that when I look at as a document.
I want you to go
right?
back to that a minute.
And, hang on a second. I'm going to give the floor back to you just in a minute or two here.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right? So the Constitution, all right, we have the Ten Commandments. And then what I preach about, too, is God gave us the Garden of Eden. And I'm not worried about the rest of the world, the rest of the country. God gave us the Garden of Eden uncalled American soil. Because we're the only place, technically, by document and everything else, separated from maritime law of the structure. And so long as we put up our borders around our fence and let the rest of the world fight their maritime crap and stay out of it, because when we have our food resources and all this stuff that we have on our land, because we're not out there, you know, making our belts, we're not making our clothes, we're not doing this stuff. We're not living what God gave us. And we go back to the Indians with Mother Earth and the same proffer. Is the same structure, because once we take care of that, all right, we could form a lot of communities that actually do the stuff, and it would stop the problems. I mean, I've written documents that could stop the problems within 2 years, okay? And it's so frustrating. We have the food resources here and people who, with the elderly and disabled. I mean, those people, all right, and I hate the way people treat them today. The Christians treat the disabled, that they're a burden on society. Every religion out there teaches today the disabled and elderly a burden on society and the rest of the people.
Yeah,
right?
That's a problem, and we've been
and I'm living it too. All right, and I remember growing up with my elders, taking care of them, doing stuff that my family wouldn't be involved with. My grandfather who had a stroke, they wouldn't go over and take care of him. Oh, put them in the old folks' home, shove them in a state hospital. Don't take care of your family. We have lost the family and emotions and family ties and having thoughts and feelings for one another. We're so separated from that today, it's unrealistic, because people don't have the compassion and feeling for one another, period, today. And so getting to that point of getting back to our structure of our foundation that our forefathers laid, because they saw all this going back to the Roman days, all the way from the 15th century when the first pope resigned and gave everybody back their freedom. That was part of the declarations that were written. They went back and looked at the history. They knew we were going to have different type of arms coming in our future because they knew the developments that were going on in their time. They could foresee this stuff, you know, like we could foresee stuff in our future today. The same thing they could, just because
Let me digress. I want to go back to what you mentioned about the utilities and the charging. What were you saying about that now? That
when you look at the stocks and bond structures, they're all based on water structures, all right? The stocks and bonds were written that we own the stocks and bonds, like the stock and bonds, the tickets that are getting written in the cities when they make the bonds on it, the people own those, the finances technically over that. Not the corporation that's running it. We have the assets today, like the PUD. All the money on your electricity bill, 25 to 30% is reinvested into stocks and bonds that roll over. So the funding is there. They decide if they're going to give somebody an employment. They decide if they're going to open up a new company. All right? Now, how come that they're deciding with those assets, when those assets who come back to the taxpayers, us, and I call it because we're paying a tax on electricity, okay, that's our assets. How come we're paying electricity bill when there's more than enough? When they built the smart meters, they spent $2 billion building the smart meters that everybody's got in their home except for me. I won't have it. I served them a $6 million lawsuit if they put one on my home. All right? those smart meters, $2 billion they spent to build that with a private contract. Oh, we made jobs when they got their license fees and insurance and everything. All right? The old meters we had are fine. That $2 billion, everybody would have paid no electricity rates in the United States who was a legal American two or more generations.
Okay, because we put up the stocks and the bonds.
Yeah, because we own those stocks
okay.
and bonds. Because remember,
so
the stocks and bonds are based off of your birth certificate.
Let me boil it back here. Let me boil it back to
okay.
where I'm going, okay? Can you write a paper on that? That will make it clear, not getting technical, make it clear so we, the people, can understand what this is about.
Okay,
and then the process on what we need to do in our states to put this back and give it back to the people. You know, we also know that we have billions of dollars in our municipalities, and we need to get that money back too, and that's got to go back to the people. And a lot of that money may have to be used to pay restitution to a lot of people who have really been burnt. And I'm not sure, you know, you can't just, if you divide it, it doesn't come up to be really all that much to the individual. But we've got to get the people who really have been burnt. We have, you know, all of these offices in the courts have bonds and stuff. We can pull them too, of course, but go ahead.
Right, and when they write a Senate and a House bill, I got years of experience with this one. When they write a House and Senate bill, all right, that's a bill. Okay, you understand the definition of bill. So when they write that to get the employment to come in, they're borrowing the money against it from the bankers, okay? So let's say the drug and alcohol program, and I'm going to use that for a perfect example, seeing that I was involved in that in the 80s. All right, when they wrote that new program up, even though under 28 U.S.C. 28841, the Prohibition Act is not legal, never been actually signed to call a fraud. When they made that bill in Congress and passed it, they borrowed money so that way they could hire all these employees, build all these businesses, all these nonprofit agencies, all these security companies. All right, they borrowed that. So in other words, they billed that to your taxes that you're paying today. All right, that's why your taxes went up to 1% in the last 21 years. Okay. And all this, and they tax these little things in the state. Another $1.94 is a new one for DHS, and everybody's taxes and all this across the country. That's a bill. So they're taking that money and taking interest off of that. So when you pay your taxes, that goes into an interest-bearing fund. All right? So the interest is already covered, plus they put a bond on it. So if it fails, they have the coverage on the other side for the banks. Now, that money should supposed to go back to the people. That's like Enron. When they all bankrupted, remember all the banks got all the money when they went bankrupt, Enron went bankrupt, the banks got all the money and the people got screwed? When these elected and public officials sign these stocks and bonds, they are putting their assets and liability up for it. They want you to think that you have an obligation to pay taxes, so that way you're paying their bill for what they signed, what they're claiming on your behalf for either your freedom, as they call it, or your employment, the job creation, all right? And when they do these bond structures, all right, so it's all based on your birth certificate after 1933, because they're borrowing it using your birth certificate numbers for your collateral, for your homes, your assets. That's when the sheriff comes in and says, you didn't pay your taxes, I'm going to steal your home, all right? This is how it's all been developed, all right? And this is the biggest fraud.
Well, all of that part is going to collapse because...
What I'm saying. But the point is that with these guys, I mean, you're talking about immense here, and this is what I've been trying to get through my public employees around here, all right? What the men's is doing their job, all right? But the other part of the men's, what they signed off, is making the men's so that way when China want to call all these banknotes, what I was trying to argue with the senators and congressmen and the House of Representatives a few years ago when they're borrowing all this money from China. It's like, far as I'm concerned, when China wants to call the note, I hope the state of Oregon wakes enough so we can put you all on a plane and fly you to China. One-way trip. And then that way, China can't come over to us because you're the contractor. You're the contractee. We're not liable because technically your land is on American soil by the Constitution and our treaties and our structure of documents cannot be entered into that because that's treason.
Right.
So because of your treason, we're just shipping you, the person, to China. They can do everything they want, and they know what China would do to them.
That's right. Well, you know, the Articles of Freedom came down with the same conclusion at the Continental Congress 2009. that this isn't the people's debt. This is the elite's debt. So
right.
You know, they're the ones that are going to have to deal with it. This isn't money anyway. It's just the letters of credit is what it is. It's debt that they're passing. Yeah, it's debt. And so, you know, all that's got to go back. And look, it's all a fiction. It's all going to fall apart, and they're going to have to become responsible. Other countries, other people are going to search these people out. Whatever happens, that's what happens. You know, we'll keep justice in the United States. But going back to these other two things, you got two papers I'm going to expect from you. I think you're going to write for me. This thing on the utilities is very interesting.
The Public Utility Commission.
Yeah, and the other one, what was the other one? I even forget. That I asked you.
What I was just saying, and I got to get a copy of the tape so I could go over the tape so I could write it up.
Okay.
So you're going to have to email.
You know, take your time.
Whoever's got it, videotape, whoever's audio tape, Chris.
I got this.
Please?
This will be up online tomorrow.
Okay, make sure I get a copy of it so that way, because I'm going to take a couple days to do that. The Public Utility Commission.
You go out to Monday night conference call, and it'll be the highest call, the last call. It'll have today's date on it, and
yeah,
it'll be right up there.
Yeah, if you email it to me, John, it'll be more easy.
I will email it to you. Yeah.
I'm just telling you, I literally deal with hundreds of people on the line and stuff, and you know, because I'm trying to pull everybody together.
But what I may have to do is email you the link to where it's at.
That's fine.
Know, yeah, because it'll be too big maybe to send it to the email someplace.
Right, and I can download it on something
right.
So I can listen to it.
Right, any MP3 on our line, if you right-click the MP3 and you click on Save As or Save.
Oh, and the other point, too, I'd like to add up that Ken Ball has on his Facebook side on the travel rights, and he's got a deal that I haven't completely read it, and I apologize to Ken on that one. But I got to go through it, and he's got it that way you can sign and file on your DMV on your rights. And if they want to dispute that, then you've got to mail to racketeering, fraud, and extortion in your mailing. Because, see, paying your driver's license, and this is what I always wrote on mine, all right, I pay them for the privilege of their employment to protect my constitutional rights. So at least I understand to keep jobs going so we can keep the basis commercial commerce going, if that makes sense, in our own comedy, so our own communities and comedy. So this way we don't bankrupt our country, so we don't fall on our face, you know. And the straw man accounts could be used off in the 84s on that because they're still part of the structure. We can honor all this stuff to bail ourselves out, if you see where I'm coming from. So this way we don't end up falling down where we got the grocery stores emptied out in 2 to 3 days. And it hits the fan. We've got some simple solutions.
Well, I've got a plan. I've got a plan. I'm going to write it down. I'll get it to you, and maybe you can let me know if it works within the system on dealing with money ultimately, because obviously the money system we have is going to fail soon. But
yeah,
but we'll talk about that. I'll talk about that.
Have you been writing promissory notes? No, we could go back the other way to deal with that, because it's the debt note, the money. We can write promissory notes between one another, and we can exchange that. And I got another friend of mine who's talking about that, and we're dealing with that because we need to print our own money and do that structure. But we could go back to the old structure of promissory notes right now and use that like an A4,
mm-hmm.
if you see where I'm coming from. You know what
right.
I mean by promissory notes, how that works. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we could go back in the worst-case scenario to that to fall back on at this point, so that way at least we could keep something going. You know, and so that way, until people get to the point where they become, when it comes down to reality, community sufficient. Like in my neighborhood, we got 400 acres that the city owns. I've been going, hey, we can raise deer and elk, and we got to raise our food right here, all right, for the community. I mean, and we could raise it because we're behind National Forest. We raise so many deer and elk and push them out in the National Forest for everybody else. We keep the food resources going. I've written these plans up. Natural hatchery programs for the state of Oregon. When they wanted to tear down the biggest dam, the Columbia River dams, and everybody heard it, went, oh, we could come up making natural hatcheries and put the fish runs up. Okay, I'm the one who wrote all that. My buddies were the ones who grafted and drew all the maps to it. We had it all when we went up there, and everybody panicked because we came up with a solution that we could do it. Instead of the billions of dollars they were talking, we could do it for less than $2 to $1.5 million per area, and that would even include the investment to keep the natural hatcheries running 24 hours a day for the next 100 years.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I mean, it was so simple of a plan. I've written plans like for Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife for the disabled and elderly on some of the fish plants.
Okay, well, you got to
go on, but I'm
going to have to categorize these things, because these are very important things, because these are practical solutions we need to work on, and we need to be able to kind of write this up in a generic way, so to speak, so that we in our states can take it to our assemblies and our
I have some of that on my website. Oregon Tracker's already written up on that, and it's up there.
Okay, but you're going to have to spoon feed me on this, because it's outside of my cup of tea, so to speak.
I understand. I understand that. Believe me, I understand that one, how that goes.
Okay. But you know, let's get those two papers we're talking about are important. One of the things I was thinking of doing is, first of all the banks are really federally controlled and there's a problem. And I think we need to require get back to silver and gold, particularly silver. There's a lot of junk silver out there, and we can become, the states that move on this quickly become magnets to the silver. And we can require anybody doing business in New York, yeah, you can turn your dollars into silver because there's a market that'll do that, but you're going to pay people in New York in anything coming through our banking system in silver. And we need to get the banks to work with silver. Now, because they're federally controlled, it's going to be a problem, but there are the credit unions that are under the federal control to some degree, but they really owe their allegiance to the people of the community. So therefore, we might be able to capture that system and recreate a new banking system that is independent and belongs to the people, like the credit unions, and require gold and silver to go through that process, and any money coming in has got to be turned to gold and silver. Eventually, another state that's doing the same thing, well, that's an easy exchange, gold and silver right back and forth, eventually everybody, and we'll get back to real money again. We can get back to the copper, the nickel, the gold, the silver. We can even move into platinum and a few other metals.
And then we start keeping it on our soil again instead of shipping it off our soil.
Exactly. It stays here. It stays
here. And that's the point. It's world greed. Everybody goes, oh, we need to do this. We need to think about the world. No, you need to think about your neighbors and how you are living in your community because of the world. If you're thinking the graphic of the world, like Africa, we need to save them. We sent them billions of dollars to clarify seawater, razor food, everything, and it all went filtered back to England and China.
Well, let me digress again. Do you understand the banking systems enough to be able to write a plan like I'm talking about?
Yeah, I understand. I mean, that just goes back to common sense. It's
right, but understanding...
It's a five-page deal. It doesn't need to be anything elaborate.
Well, you're right, exactly, but we have to have someone to write it. I mean, I was going to write it. It sounds like you may have the ability...
I'll pass that one right now because I got these other two, and I still got to write my case that I'm going because the judge is trying to figure out if he wants to put out another warrant out for me after what they're doing because what I've been, like I said, I mean, I've been exposing and bringing out so much stuff and emailing out, and like I sent you the sheriff stuff. This is why I announced I was running for sheriff, going after their bonds.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and that's where the video comes in. All right, because they freaked out. Because the one mayor, the one city, the guys that are on the city council or the county commissioners, all three of them were directly involved in destroying my family. All three were involved, destroyed, and combined and conspired with my family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, and this is dealing with my family, my grandfather's a union, and I'm the heir to the stocks. Okay? So, I mean, this is, you know, so I mean, I'm fighting this on both sides.
Right.
Okay?
Well, bear in mind that once we get the grand juries going out there, we'll be able to solve the problem.
Oh, yeah.
A lot,
no, I agree with you. This is the whole point that I want to see them be able to start making amends and back into the community where you're coming.
Well, what I'm trying to say is this, though, and I'm trying to push work onto you, to be honest with you.
Yeah, like I don't get enough.
But I know I'm not asking for these things right away. I'm asking when you have the time to do it.
I'm writing
papers, too, and writing other papers, and I'm busy, and you're busy, we're all busy. But, you know, whatever, when it comes to it and we need something written, and if you haven't done it, then if someone else can't write it, I'll try to write it. I can anyway, but...
Well, the other point is I'm trying to alleviate a little bit, because right now I'm on nitroglycerin drip.
Mm-hmm.
And because, I got 17 blown discs, 4 in the spinal cord, I got crushed back, you know, I'm not whining about my condition in any manner because I'm still,
What kind of heart problem is it?
What kind of heart problem? I haven't had the time to research everything on my medical records yet. So, I know I've had a heart attack, and a lot of it's from stress, anxiety, I believe, and it's from being the personal attack of what they, you know, did and everything involved because, you know, believe me, my family conspired with the government and got my property and stuff in their name.
Well, is
change,
something exercise, diet, and
diet has a lot to do with it, but when you don't have the resources, and right now I'm getting my gardens going,
right.
But right now I'm going through that transition. It's eating more fruit and vegetables, but when you've been so much of a carnivore instead of a vegetarian, it is the mindset of getting your mindset of the way you've been educated in that form of the way you've been thinking for 25, 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, I mean, the mind is a wonderful thing, but it is one thing that really screws us up personally too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where I always preach personal responsibility, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's where people have to understand. I mean, it is personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, no, I'm going to be taking on as much as I can with everything else, and I want to get the other part of the jury on going to my state because I got people jumping on me from other areas because I've been lacking, but for neglect, I should say.
How's it looking out there for getting the jury going through out there in Oregon?
Right now, we haven't even got the paper wet on the structure. I'm just got the paper wet today, and now I got people in town that are coming to me through people in town today that just came up to me and said, "Hey, Ed, people are asking and want to understand. Would you start showing the people? They're pissed off at the mayor now. They want the police department gone." Because they're getting tired.
Yeah, it's a problem, yeah.
But right now, and see, this is what I've told the town. Now, I mean, it's like in 2004, me and another gentleman strapped our guns on when the cops were beating up on people and said, "We'll kill them." All right,
mm-hmm.
This is all in the media. I've been there doing it, living it. All right, and now finally my town is waking up. All right, and I see that by what's transpiring in my neighborhood of the feedback I'm getting from the other people. Okay, so I'm blessed, so I'm getting that out, and that's where I want to bring in the towns, because once we get back to the basics of how the cities are supposed to run, and the county does not have the authority to tell the cities, and the Washington, D.C. does not have the authority to pinnacle out to the states and tell the states how to run the counties.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because the counties are running the cities primarily through the state back to Washington, D.C. today.
Right, right. Yeah.
Okay. And so, I mean, I see the big picture. I understand how all the nuts and bolts and all these pictures, I mean, I could just say the intertwining deal.
Right.
It's so simple the way it is, but the point is that people are so educated and they've been so, I don't want to say dumbed down, but it's so desensitized by the media.
Well, they've been dumbed down or prevented from becoming
desensitized. If you can't have feelings and emotions,
well,
and if you can't
too.
Feel
absolutely.
It, how are you supposed to have respect for your
absolutely.
Neighbor?
I agree with that. But they have control of our educational system. They've had it for 100 years now. And, you know,
we've allowed it.
Yeah, exactly. We've got a copy of an 1895 test from an eighth grade. And believe me, we are dumbed down. You know, they tell us that we're so smart, we've got all this technology, we're more smart than anybody ever before us. It's all a bunch of BS because we can't even pass an eighth grade test from the 1890s. It's pretty simple.
Colleges today are on a ninth grade level of
exactly.
college. They're not even like
They're seventh and eighth grade if they're lucky. If they're lucky.
I was trying to give them a little credit.
Well, you're giving them too much credit.
But, no, I understand, John. We're on the same page on this. And people think that they're going to, like, you know, Phoenix, Arizona, these schools online and stuff, and they got all this. The online schools and everything is a joke.
Exactly.
All it is writing it off on your straw man account. And then that's why they're doing the stuff for the Internet, to attack you through the Internet for the schooling, because, then that way we own the Internet line. As soon as Arizona University says, because I'm on the Internet, I own this part of the world. And that's what they're trying to do, is divide it up in that structure like they've done in your town.
Mm-hmm.
And this is ridiculous.
Right.
You know? I'm sorry. I know I get carried away.
No,
but
that's okay.
See how it all goes.
Interesting. It's interesting. Maybe you're getting into too much detail, but it is interesting. And it is things we have to talk about. Well, you know, I haven't given too much thought about some of these things. And
But that's
and,
the point. When we're doing the juries, we have to know these things in the community.
Well, exactly. That's why we need people with knowledge that can write papers on this, simple papers. If you go read the papers I put up, you'll find out they're as simple as I can make them. but they're powerful too. And so we have to give them the meat, but we have to give it in a way that the people can digest it, and also that they're not overburdened with too much information. And so, yeah, we need people to understand these things. You're absolutely right. We need to really focus in. One of the big ones is money. We have to prepare for the collapse, and eventually we just need to move our state over to
that
real money.
That might be December 7th, my understanding.
Yes,
the
I know.
House and Senate signed over all the corporation banks to the Rothschild family, and they did that 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never been in the public media or anything like that. And so if you have a local bank that's truly a local bank, and if you're going to believe in the banking system, because as far as I'm concerned, it should be under shotgun, but if you believe in that, believe in a local bank that has the local funding, and you know the guy has got the either debt note quality, the FEMA note, or the actual gold in the back to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Check your local banks. Don't go to a national bank or a big bank.
Well, I moved over to a credit union, and I kicked myself in the ass that I didn't do this 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I want to tell
you. You could set up your own banks in your own communities, because if you have, let's say, 100 residents in your area, right, you have your collateral, you have your land and stuff, so it's the same thing on a promissory note.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so, I mean, we can set up our own banks. I wrote up things on this because I was heavily involved with the bank stuff up at the Capitol, and I wrote stuff up, and I was attacked on it. But you could write up your own banks in your own neighborhoods, and you have your own structure. And if you go to another community, you know, then you're honoring them. And so if you go to another community on the promissory notes, you're writing to the community, you know, 10 or 20 gallons of gas. So when they come in your community, you're supplying them back and forth. There are other ways that you could do it so simple, if you see my point. You're working on a grander schedule, but also, too, you could do it community by community basis to also, too, cover yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can see that little short point of view, I'm saying through promissory notes, but it has to be conjuncted with the guy who owns the gas station, the neighbors, everybody, you know, so that way you're keeping the deal. And it's not like you're going back and forth and using it to go to, you know, Hawaii on the trip. You know, you're going into communities visiting families or doing that to keep commonwealth going. And I don't like commonwealth because that's a British term.
Right.
You know, I've got to come up with a new name for it. But, I mean, you know, it's to keep it in the area.
Right, absolutely.
In local areas.
Well, yeah, and it should first stay in and then overflow as it goes out. And especially in emergency situations, that's one of the things the sheriff has to make sure that takes place, is that all of the resources of the county stays in the county first and foremost, and then whatever excess resources are available, then we can let it pour out into the other counties around us and eventually into other states.
We could help our neighbor out on the right things instead of going to the federal government and say, oh, we need draft notes, and then they go, okay, well, whose collateral and assets and property are you going to put up for our draft notes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, we could do that in communities level. I mean, our county spent $5 million on Sasami garbage, and all they could have done it for, what, $80,000, and then we could have had everybody set up in the neighborhoods so everybody knew where the high points are, how to check this and that. I mean, you know, simple plans. It's like, you know, I'm going to run off here on a quick thing, like the lotteries. Every state has a lottery. I wrote a thing for the Oregon State for a bill for 25% of all lottery funds to go into a retirement fund for the legal Oregonian two or more generations. I have this written up, two or more generations, and if you're illegal caught on this, you're on the first plane to your country with $100 in your pocket. At 55, whatever the year that ended, everybody who collected on that got the balance, only got 40% of that year, and then after that, it would be 40% every year, but the interest would go by 60% every other year, so you would get a 40% in your spending ability every 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I mean that's making the money and the debt note or FEMA note working for all of us, if that makes sense, you know. And then that way, you know, with the water electricity, I mean, we would have this, so this way we're not a burden on ourselves per se, as they, you know, turn the media.
Well, this utility thing, that was the other thing I wanted to write a paper on.
Yeah,
this utility thing
is
very interesting. Okay, and we need to move on that. and take control of this within our states. And again, you know, the key thing is communications within our state. And, you know, now the Internet in itself, that's controlled regionally, isn't it?
Yes,
I mean, ultimately, lots of regions.
I don't have that much, but to my understanding, it's supposed to be controlled regionally. If somebody knows something better
than
that.
When we say regionally, would that be, I'm thinking regionally within the state, not regionally within the country.
No, regionally within the state, so that way you have the control over it.
Exactly. We got to cut them control wires coming from the White House to our Internet here, because that's definitely
I'll be working on that deal on that one.
A huge problem. We can't permit the federal government to even think that they can do anything to stop the communications or the food or anything, martial law here in the soil of New York State. We're not going to permit it. We need to get to that point where the people realize that, and that's what we have to do.
And we have to quickly.
There's no time. We really have to.
No, I know. Trust me. I'm going to run off here. What I did is, I filed a 17-page deal with the court a week ago Friday. All right, so that way if they want to earn me a contract, they're going to pay me 5 ounces of gold and 5 ounces of silver when I show up for court. If they want me to show up for court. Then I served them Monday because I did my UCC, all right, contract. You understand what
I mean, federal violations? Can you send me copies of this stuff?
Yeah, I'll send you a copy. And I wrote all the violations and everything. And then Monday I went in and signed I did my UCC filing, because I hate that, because that's playing to me as violates the Fourth Amendment, right, because you're giving over to the British government, because I understand how the UCC got started in the 16th century and combined with the 1820s with China and the British government with the opium, okay? So that violates my Fourth Amendment, right? So I went in and wrote everything for accepted value on their warrants and everything and turned that in. So they're going, what the hell is going on?
They love you in Oregon.
Oh, no, trust me, the governor loves me, too. I've gone through two governors. I've gone through two state attorney generals personally myself running for my case because the Department of Justice actually, when they tried to put me in federal prison, said that I had personal use and I was personally responsible with my medication and everything. And the state keeps going, you can't have personal use. You have to sign this contract so that we have authority over you. And I said, no. I even told Senator Peter Courtney, I'm the one who killed the bill on that you have to sign the contract. That's why I write this stuff on my medical, because I'm not giving my authority over the doctor. That's why I'm at home with nitrile patches instead of a hospital with a drip.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Because I'm not giving my authority to them, because as far as my attitude is that they screwed me on the workman's comp and stuff. I give them my authority. I lose everything. At least if I die on my land that I bought and paid for and the structure what I've done, when the shit hits the fan and somebody, whoever I give the authority to, owns the state. They know it. We've already argued this with the Senate and Congressman. I've got a video up with senators where the senators are telling me, Ed, yeah, you know it's all voluntary. And I say, yeah, senators, I know that. You know that. How come we're not teaching this to the kids in school anymore? I mean, I've got the videos up on YouTube where you see me having the conversations with the Congress and senators over your hunting and subsistence fishery rights. Yeah, Ed, we know it's all voluntary. Yeah, but you're cutting down the woods in Oregon so we don't have the deer and the elk and the salmon anymore, because by federal law of 1924 says if there's no food in that area for 10 consecutive years, 10 years, every consecutive year for a year, 10 years, that they can build housing development. So the food resources is gone, all right? Then they're making it the food to become a privilege for us to eat. That's why they want to put these salmon hatcheries on the oceans and structure. So this way our rivers and streams could be under the new commercial maritime law.
Right, and they control the water
and
everything. Unbelievable. These people don't stop. Soon they're going to charge us for the air we breathe.
That's how big it really is, and I know they don't stop.
Yeah. They're just not happy. They just don't get enough.
Yeah.
And,
hang on for just a second.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
I was wondering if I might be able to interject something maybe a little bit of a different topic.
Go right ahead, please. Don't let us hog the airwaves altogether. Go ahead.
Well, no, that's okay. No, it's I'm not real educated on the law, on the legal stuff like that, so I appreciate your all's conversation there. But did you ever discuss or do you give much credence to the the false flag agendas of the government and control, and how they use these things to initiate their new laws and controls?
Well, they do everything out of necessity, okay? And so they create some necessity, and that's what they do. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I mean, basically, it's the Hegelian dialectic. It's order out of chaos.
Exactly. You know, I was just writing something on that. Exactly. And let me see what that was. I'm writing a paper I wanted to put up on the thing, and we're talking about... yeah, how we don't have to go out and indict everybody, and really what their plan is exactly that, is they need to create, they need to get, well, first of all, they take control, they create chaos, and then they get order out of it. And
right.
And that is exactly their plan, yes.
Right. Yeah, they create the problem.
Yes.
Then they come up with a solution, but the solution always works in their favor.
Of course, because they're trying to bring us into subjection, and they're bringing us
right.
into slavery. I
yeah,
mean, we pretty much are already slaves.
Exactly. Yeah. It's. I mean, it's a new world order agenda. It's a satanic, you know, energized, driven agenda 21, and what have you. But the point that I want to make, and if you don't mind me sharing this point, okay, because you know I hear you say things about, you know, we're not 25 minutes. Till 12 or 25 seconds till 12,
right.
You know, and I see that urgency as well. But here recently, there's a person that's running for governor in Nevada in 2014, and his name is David.
I know
David.
Who you're talking about, David.
Yes, uh-huh. Are you familiar with him? Or?
Yes, I am. I've been on many talk shows with him.
Okay, well, him and I, we kind of see eye to eye on some of these things. Okay, because he's aware of these things that the government is doing, that these staged events and what have you, these orchestrated catastrophes and what have you, to institute and bring in these new laws. Well, he's been paying attention to some of these things and trying to call them out if he sees the potential for something that's likely to happen. Now, the latest thing that he actually made a publication on was the potential for some type of event, some type of false flag event that could possibly have taken place at the Scout-O-Rama, the 2013 Jamboree, Boy Scouts Jamboree. And I posted, I had some information on my blog. I just copied the post that he had. But the point that I'm making is that these people are driven a lot by the occult numerology and things like this. They pay very close attention to these things. And if you look back and you study, and if you're familiar with like the dates of a lot of the events, and even like aircraft numbers and just a lot of stuff, there's a lot to it there. And I don't really want to get too much into that, because I just want to make a general point, and that is that here we've got September coming up again, okay, which is another 9/11. Now, we had 9/11 of 2001, which was the kind of the threshold, I believe, into their kind of no-holds-barred attempt to take complete rule of the country and eventually the world. Now, last
mm-hmm.
year, in 2012, we had the Benghazi attack on 9/11, or the Benghazi, whatever that situation was, fiasco. Well, we've got 9/11 coming up here in just a few days or a few weeks. Now, what's really striking is that this week, or the week of 9/11 of 2013, you have Monday is the 9th, and you have Wednesday is the 11th, and Friday is Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you take the 9 plus the 11 plus the 13, that totals up to 33, which is
yep.
a key number, which is a key number for Freemasonry. And that this is the way these people operate. Now, I have a post
I found it quite interesting with that bank date of, what was that, December 7th?
Was that
December 7th, Ed?
Oh, that's where the banks are. They're supposed to be handed over. That's the anniversary day of Pearl War.
Exactly.
Pearl Harbor,
that interesting,
and that's supposed to be handed over to the Rothschild families.
Right. I find this interesting because they do play with these numbers that way. But go right ahead. Finish up what you were saying.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I've really hit on the main points. The main point that I'm wanting to share, see, and I'm coming from that same mindset that David Laurie Vanderbeek comes from, in that, hey, if we see this thing, call them out on it, because it's possible that if enough people are paying attention to these things and watching, that it's not so easy for them to pull these things off when there's too much people aware of what their agendas are. So what I'm asking, and I'll share a link in here if you don't mind, to the blog where I've done calculations and even analyzed and broke down the calendar and with graphics and videos and what have you. But I'm just really trying to wake people up to the potential for significant false flag activity or significant.
Boston? Like the Boston bombing when that was a fraud that Representative Trumbly resigned over? And her state, and I talked to her over it a couple times, and I couldn't believe it, so I sent her the information on the history she was talking about.
You have to tread lightly on some of these things, because a lot of times you run up against somebody that just absolutely refuses to believe these conspiracies and things like that. And you get the door slammed in your face, you know. But then when I hear, you know, someone like you that actually comes up and say, well, I know what you're talking about. I completely understand. You're talking about these fake scenarios where they bring in these operatives. And
Twin Towers. You know, Twin Towers was to get us back together. The one thing they did with the Twin Towers was to destroy some of the original documents that they put in. And the gold that was in it, they already removed the gold out of that building 2 months prior to it. The day that the owner was signed that contract from the insurance company, that's when all the gold was moved out.
Well, it's just like, I've got a video that I watched today, and it's about all the secret tunnels in what they call the dumbs, the deep underground military bunkers that crisscross and dot our country, that they use these giant tunneling machines.
Every Senate in Congress, every state capitol has underground tunnels throughout their buildings.
You ask, well, where do they get the funding for all of this stuff? I mean, is all of this black ops? I mean, you never hear the congressman talking about your senators or things like that. But the day before 9/11 of 2001, the World Trade Center attacks, the day before, we have Donald Rumsfeld getting up to the mic and saying, we have $2.3 trillion that is unaccounted for.
Unbelievable.
The next day, virtually every accounting office that had anything to do with that money was destroyed. The Pentagon, the Navy Intelligence Office, in the the Pentagon was destroyed. They were onto it. Just about any of the corporations that were in on all of this stuff, those floors were one of the first ones hit from the planes and all of that. Building 7, which was an obvious controlled implosion, charges and what have you, it was taken down. It was probably the headquarters for the whole operation. But, you know, I think you understand my point is
that's like the SEAL Team 6 that fell out of a helicopter.
Yeah, and I'm just saying that, you know, and if I would,
the
you know, if
ones who did a Bin Laden assassination.
Exactly. It's all fake. It's all staged. Even Pearl Harbor. Now they knew. Now Pearl Harbor was a little bit different. Okay, but the fact of the matter is that they knew Pearl Harbor was going to happen, and they needed it to happen because the country was not interested in getting back into another big war overseas after really just coming, just you know, getting their wounds healed up from World War One. So what did they have to do? They had to change the mindset of the American populace. So what better way to do that than to allow the homeland to be attacked by Japan?
That's why they took all those old ships out of there, and because they were due to be decommissioned, the ones that were there, and they put took the good ones.
Most of the decommissioned ones were the ones that were bombed.
Right, they left them there, and they took the good ones out. They took the aircraft carriers and stuff out.
Right.
So
yeah,
they
had the guys sitting there painting them and doing maintenance on them on the ones they were decommissioning.
Right. It was, and you know, they made a lot of money. They stole a lot of gold out of Japan, and that was their initial funding for this project. You know, they're 100 years ahead of the technology that we know of, you know, that they show us. They took all those,
and it's
not
from aliens, it's mankind making it.
Yeah, well,
I don't go with the alien structure because I haven't seen them, I haven't experienced them. But I know man's intelligence. We have the intelligence. That's why a majority of the population has a ninth grade level and the selected few. I mean, they could think about stuff and they can make it happen and you know, build it in no time, you know. So it's the mindset. It's how your mind is willing to be opened. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
You know that the week before the towers went down was the two biggest short-selling days in the history of the stock market. I mean, in the history of markets, because there was, you know, stock markets have been going on since China.
They were supposed to go belly up.
Well, they
and that's why they saved them.
Listen, they shorted those three airlines. They knew their stock was going to drop like a rock. And guess where and the corporations that bought those shares, that won those shares and made that money, we can't trace it because supposedly all those records went down in Building 7.
And then the interesting Building 7, they said that fell because the earth rumbled it down. That was the first thing they said. The two buildings fell, and that's why it vibrated it down. But if you look at it, it looked identical to a controlled demolition.
We can't hardly imagine how much money that the insiders may have made in the stock market just because of that crash. But the same thing happened back in the Napoleonic Wars with Rothschild. That's how he actually really launched
his
fortune.
That's how he came into being.
Yeah,
he
sent this courier ahead saying that they had lost, Napoleon was defeated. And or vice versa, I can't remember the details. Anyway,
I know what you mean. They sent it to Britain to say that Napoleon won the war, so they dropped all the stocks, so the Rothschilds could buy everything out.
Exactly.
And they're not.
And there's a good video on that called "The American Dream" on the internet, YouTube. The American Dream, and it's a great cartoon. If you haven't seen it, watch it. It explains that very well, and it's done in such a cartoon fashion where the kids in their ninth grade education will pick up on it.
Right. Hey, did you hear?
I don't know if you know about that.
What was the name of that video?
The Great American Dream.
Okay.
And I will send it sometime tonight to John so he can see the video.
What was that comedian, Colin or something, that said?
Yeah, George Carlin.
You had to be asleep to enjoy it.
George Carlin.
Yes.
He was wild, George Carlin. Hey, there was some scuttlebutt about false flags here, you know, with Alex Jones about 2 years ago. And one of the things that I got to give Alex credit, because I think that he was instrumental in preventing another false flag. They sent this aircraft carrier out to the Hormuz over there, and it was an aircraft carrier that's due to be decommissioned, and they got 3,000 men on it or whatever. I think it was the Enterprise or whatever. And
Enterprise.
Yeah, and they said, listen, the only reason they're sending that out there is because they're planning on doing another false flag and sinking that thing to get us into World War III, you know?
And Egypt.
And I think what happened was is they scuttled that whole plan because it was all over the Internet for a little while, and it was so obvious. And, I mean, you probably still can go out on YouTube and find the videos of that. Where they showed the carrier that they put out there, and the reason that it was the logic behind them why it was so ridiculous that they sent that thing out, that it was almost like you knew that they were doing it for a false flag. There was no other reason to have that thing out there, you know?
No, and also, too, the innocent people on that ship would have been murdered just for to create another scene to put everybody else in hysteria.
That's right.
You know, yeah. I mean, murdering innocent men and women out there on the ocean for the false flag, just like they did in Boston, just like they did with the Twin Towers. Some of the Columbine shooting, I mean, that was all based because of drugs in the kids.
Exactly.
Because of the psychology.
That's where I was going to go. I was going to go with that because that's what they're doing. A lot of this has to do with mind control and big pharma, the pharmaceutical and psychological and medical industry, you know, taking these selected individuals and putting them in these programs and, you know, basically, you know, turning them into Manchurian candidates.
Yeah.
That's very true. It's like, let me put it, I'm going to run off. It's not personal on me, but it affects everybody who's been disabled. It's like me when I got disabled. I should have got a settlement by workman's comp, by the commercial zone, and gone on my way. Okay? But instead of giving me a settlement, they took my money, put it in interest-bearing account. So when I die on the stocks, it gets divided between Liberty Northwest stockholders, and then it gets a 25% goes to the House and Senate through the back door for the administration bills. And I know, I proved this, wrote it up. I was on the governor's advisory committee on this shit, and I put it all together, and everybody panicked. And then, you know, plus my own bill I had up on the floor. But this is, we are getting all these false flags on these emotions, and they're trying to work on our emotions, but we don't have sensitivity and feelings. We're working with emotions instead of rational thought.
Right.
And Columbine, I mean, with all the drugs that kid was on, I want you to finish that one up. I'll back off.
I'm going to put this link in the web in the text here. You can find the information if you all are not in the text. It's Elijah1757.wordpress.com.
John.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone call me.
Hello.
They're very low. I could barely hear them.
Who's low? Me?
Somebody's saying John, but I can't hardly hear him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'll have to do a mic check. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Yep.
Okay. This is Clay on Dallas, Missouri. You spoke with a friend of mine, Jim, this past week. I have two bits of information I wanted to pass on to you. His wife went into the hospital and underwent 14 hours of open-heart surgery yesterday. She has been diagnosed with stone heart disease, and from what my understanding is that the prospects do not look very good. So he's going to be out of the picture for, you know, to get his house in order. That's why he's not on the call that I can see tonight. I really didn't expect him to be. But I did want to ask everybody's prayers for his wife, and hopefully it's God's will that she pulls through.
Yeah, we'll pray God's will on that. And let me ask you, what exactly is stone heart disease? Do you know?
I believe, from what I have been told, now I've not researched this, and I have been in and out of court. Yesterday, I go back to court tomorrow. For some reason, the state of Missouri seems to think that I need to have tags on my automobile.
I have no idea why they think they need something like that.
Me neither. I have 2x3 magnetic signs that say this automobile is not for hire. And today I recused the first judge, and I'm planning to do the same in the other county tomorrow because I wrote a nasty letter. Just telling it like it was that the judge and the prosecutor and the officer involved was trying to steal my money under the color of law. You don't write a letter to the governor and to the Judicial Review Board and 14 other agencies like that and still have a reasonable opportunity or to have an unbiased judge. So I'm going to be recusing him, so it's been busy couple days for me. But going back to the black arts discussion earlier and the symbology and everything, a lot of your listeners and have a much larger contact list than I do, so you may have, this may have already come across your desktop through emails. But my question, do you know the alternate email or alternate website address for the NSA? You can look it up through nsa.gov and get their main page, but there is an alternate way also.
Yeah, I didn't know.
And you
that
take the
this
word...
sounds a little familiar, but go ahead. This has a familiar ring to it, but I don't remember.
You take the word Illuminati and spell it backwards.
Yeah, I thought
go,
I heard
and
something
go
like this before,
com.
Interesting. Yes.
They do it all in the open, but sometimes even if it's in the open, you have to look a little look under the first piece of paper or two.
Right.
So, that being said, I'll free the floor because I'm here to learn, not to talk. So just prayers for Jim's wife would be much appreciated.
Okay, will do. I appreciate that. Will do. Okay, we have anything else, or is it time to go to bed?
I'll share one more thing there, John. And this has to do with, kind of goes back to a little bit about the Illuminati and the occult. But if you there's a lot of things out there that are like this, but the logo for HSBC Bank, which I think is the it's the largest Western bank, or you know, English, like European and American bank, and I think they even have offices in China and Russia too. But,
yeah, it stands for a Chinese thing, Shanghai something. Yeah, go ahead. I think I've heard this. Go ahead.
Okay, well, anyway, a lot of people are, you know, talking about that these powers that this Illuminati or these globalist people have goes way back to, you know, the time of the Egyptian false gods and what have you. And but anyway, it's interesting when you think about that, because I noticed this. If you look at that HSBC logo, and you'll see the three pyramids. You'll see two smaller pyramids, one to the right and one to the left, and then one larger pyramid right in the center of it. And it's very obvious once you once you take a look at it and find them. But that's just kind of a little tidbit, a little trivia I thought I'd just throw in here at the end.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks. Anybody else? Other than that, I think it's bedtime. I'm looking, it's after midnight here in New York, so I think it's time for bed. And by the way, Ed, are you one of the people that came in through my Skype? Ed?
Yeah.
Okay, because I see there's one person left. I had about four or five people in on Skype, but there's one person left, and I thought it might be you. So, okay.
Yeah,
hey, John.
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just dealing with something in the kitchen right now. I'll be
yeah.
Back.
It's called food, huh?
I'm busted.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Hey, John, I wanted to let John.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just glad I wasn't.
My sister went in the hospital today.
Oh,
and,
sorry.
Yeah, she's blowing up, and they think she has an embolism in the heart. So they don't know what they're going to do with that. You know, she hates hospitals, and she's very non-compliant. But now she's facing this thing where, you know, she could have instant death. Anyway,
which one is this?
To go over tomorrow and take care of paperwork, because she needs somebody to be the proxy and they, what do you call it, power of attorney.
Okay.
So I want to get, I need to get that done because,
right.
You know, I don't want her to be in a position where the judge is making, you know, where the courts, the probate is making decisions and maybe even life and death decisions. Because
yeah,
I know her, she doesn't want to be hooked up to machines and all that stuff for, you know, any length of time. So, but anyway.
Which sister is this?
The one that lives in the trailer over here.
Okay.
So, they shouldn't have sent her home, but you know, this healthcare system, that's what they do now. You know, this
right, well, obviously, you're not going down to Brooklyn tomorrow. Then I'm leaving early. I don't know what time you're going to be at the hospital from.
I don't know. I kind of got to go with their schedule because I got to meet the caseworker there. You know, they run you through a whole crap of people over there. It's ridiculous.
Right. All right, well, give me a call later in the day. Let me know what's going on. I'm presuming you're not going to go to Brooklyn, but if you do, I got to leave early. I'm planning on leaving at about 3 p.m. What?
3 is early? All right.
Yeah, I'm thinking of 3. You know, I should get to Brooklyn. Well, you see, it's rush hour. That's the problem. You know, that's why I got to leave early. You know, we don't have to be there till 6 or 6:30. Yeah, 6. Oh, goodness, what time is it supposed to be there? I think 6. I think it's set up. I have to look up on the internet. I think it's set up for the elections at 6:30.
Yeah, you got to be careful down there. Remember that time we went down and we got lost for an hour and a half, 2 hours?
Yeah.
You take off the wrong turn and it's, you know, it's crazy.
We're done, yeah. Okay,
so,
anyway, you let me know. If I don't hear from you, I'm just going.
I'll know better by noontime what the heck is going on, you know? I'd like to get it done early, but I don't know. We'll see.
And then the next day I'm going up to Onondaga. And that's again, I'm leaving here at 2:30, but I'll be passing your place at about 3:30, roughly 3:15.
What's tomorrow? Is tomorrow Wednesday already?
Tomorrow's Wednesday already.
Oh,
and then Friday it's going down to, what's his name's, Tony's election, Westchester County. So we got two elections this week.
Yeah, and then Thursday I'm going to help Kate Butler do hers.
Oh, that's this Thursday or next Thursday?
No, it's the 29th, which is...
Okay, that's next Thursday.
Yeah, because it's
Wednesday. Yeah, I got a radio interview at 8 p.m. on next Thursday. So
yeah.
That's the Montana something or other.
Yeah, well, just
the woman that runs that particular radio program, it's an internet thing. She comes from New York. She comes from, I think she said Brooklyn. Oh, yeah, I think it was Brooklyn. Yeah, so she's a New Yorker. And you could tell, you listen to her. She had some good programs. I've been listening to some of her programs. I was listening to one of them today. They're pretty good. You know, so maybe because they were talking a lot about us.
I couldn't imagine that feeling.
I hope you're ready when this thing hits viral because it's coming around. I mean, I ended up in the newspaper on the front page and a whole back page story about my election and how we don't like license plates on cars and all this other horseshit. I mean, this girl, she did a good article, but she put the real radical stuff in the paper too. So, you know, and I'm an ex-councilman, and that was the heading on the article. Ex-councilman branches out. I got my big fat hands on a computer in a sleeveless shirt. I look like a brute going to beat somebody over the head with the law, you know.
I got one you'll like. When I was elected on the local school committee, right, because the local school committee has authority over the school board, that's what freaked them out when they understand when I recalled them and I did everything I did. The following year, 2002, I recalled the school board. 2003, the Senate and House put a bill through real fast to get rid of all the local school committees throughout the entire state of Oregon because they realized the committee members, the local school committee, had the authority over the board and the principals and the administrators. And they freaked out when I had the law and it showed them. And it went all the way back to the 18, when the school board was formed in 48 or something like that. And they all panicked, and it was like, what? And I said, yeah, I told you the whole time. This is how it works. It's your game. But yeah, you understand how the system goes if you were on the, you know what I mean. It's just frustrating. It's very frustrating with a lot of these people. And even the county commissioner, when I went in to file my papers, the last one I filed in the county recorder's office to file my 17-page article on for the contract with the court. And because, you know, they want me to go to court, I might as well charge them for accordingly. And the county commissioner comes up to me and goes, "Oh, come on, Ed. I'm not going through the metal detector and going through that. You're violating my Fourth Amendment rights. Oh, come on, Ed. Just comply. We all have to do it. I don't like it either." And it's like, Terry, you already sold your soul to company store. Don't plead with me. And not only that, when he was going through this wife's problem, I'm the one who saved their marriage. And all of a sudden, she ended up getting a job. She's the head of the victims program for our county. Interesting how that worked out. She worked herself in a job instead of doing the right thing. But, it's very sad how these people portray the games.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, I got to get to bed. I'll never get up tomorrow.
Yeah,
good talking to you.
12:30.
Yeah, good talking to all you ducks and
hopefully,
conspiracy.
Hopefully we'll drum up a few bucks and we'll be able to move back to webinar. If not, I'll have to find something because I can't deal with TalkShoe's problems no more. We just can't deal with this. We'll see what we'll do.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, okay. God bless all you gentlemen. I'm going to do the same because I'm going to get a few emails out and I'm going to go watch a movie. So I got to take some time and start relaxing instead of all this crazy stuff, you know. But I'll get that written up because I've got to do that anyways because I'm supposed to file with the Public Utility Commission. Because in 2012, the Toledo Police Department robbed my house. I called 911. I was arrested for calling 911 because they said it was an emergency because my house was robbed by them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I went to a jury trial. Three of the jury members were the best friends of the judge. And the three of the juries, actually the entire jury pool, except for four of the people in the jury pool, I knew every one of them. And all of them were on contract with the county, and I already knew them. I've known half the jury for at least 15 years. And I ain't saying this in court. They run me through the kangaroo court system. You're going to love this. So he goes and he gives me this $280 fine. So I understand the game. So I play on my check. I write it on my check. Racketeering, fraud, and extortion, not reporting IRS. And they cash my checks with their stamp. The first two they did. The third check, the state wouldn't even stamp it. Because I wrote the charges on the check. Because if we're agreeing to the term, it's the same thing on the check, so I already got them nailed. Do you understand what I'm talking about? What I mean?
Yep.
You know, and I know these guys are going, holy shit, because they're starting to put the pieces down. They wrote the game. I just walked them through the stuff, so what I'm talking about, I mean, I'm living this stuff after me attacking me and everything, because they know that they realize that here shortly how much they got themselves in a ringer. Because the two other judges involved in the court case and the ones directly involved helped destroy my family with the state attorney general, the district attorney, and the county mayor, the city mayor, and the county council. You know? So the pieces are already there. They already know it. So I just getting out more pieces to the puzzle.
Well, let me make a response to some of the things in the text chat for a minute here. I see guest 41 wanted to know when our next meeting is, and we put that out there in the text area. I'm presuming maybe that they just found us through TalkShoe. But I don't think we're going to be coming back to TalkShoe anymore. But you can find us by going to our website, which is nationallibertyalliance.org. As you can see, it's out there. And then when you click on that, you click on the Monday night conference call on the left side, and whatever venue we're going to use will be up there. So anyway, anybody who's just visiting us for the first time and is interested in our program and what we're doing, that's where we will be. Just follow us from our website if we move around. We're going to try to get back to the GoToWebinar thing.
Instead of program in our life, because we're all doing this for life. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Well, amen.
So it's life, because if we don't have life, we have nothing else but freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I just speak my mind. You gotta understand. I just speak my mind when it happens.
It just spills right out of that mouth. I can see
it. Yeah, it does, man. You gotta see me up at the Capitol when they do bills and what the hell?
Well, I heard a little bit about you from your neighbor up there. So.
I mean, it's very interesting. I go up there, and next thing you know, I got Secret Service following me around for a couple of years, and I'm like, wait a minute, what did I do so wrong that I deserve Secret Service? But then again, I'm not arguing, because Secret Service, at least I know a shit hits the fan in the building, I've got security, and 2000, that makes sense, you see? Yeah, you understand, I ain't a fool, okay? I mean, hey, I got my own shield. I live in reality here. But anyhow.
You should have started the rumor that you got a special Secret Service contingency gun.
Hey, the last time I went up in the Capitol, nobody followed me. I felt lonely. It was weird. You know? But I mean, but the one thing I've got the videos up with me when I'm discussing with Senate bills and stuff like that, when they're going, yes, Ed, you know it's all voluntary system and all this. Well, yeah, you and I know it, but the public don't know it. You know,
yeah.
And that's where we keep arguing, because they keep going, well, you keep saying you're free. I said, I filed all my documents just because I got a what you call a license, and I write on it because in case I need the license, if I have to travel somebody, you know. For any purposes, I got a license for that purpose of commercial zone. But I'm not signing my rights away. I'm keeping it so I have it both sides.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's disgusting. We have to live this way.
Yeah, I hear you on that one.
You know, and I mean, I bring this up and I preach about it all over the media at the things. That's why the local media stopped writing about me, because they put a media blitz on me. Lars Larson on his talk show, I don't know if you ever heard him. I'm all over his page. But me and him have been battling, because when they came out and said that Measure 11 was based over gangs and all this crap, it was based over two 14-year-old kids playing with a pistol. It went off. We don't know if it was murder or accident or what the circumstances, because we were never allowed the jury trial to go through with the kid. So they baked this kid as the martyr for the entire country, a 14-year-old kid as the murderer, so this way they could go out and do these other court cases they're trying to do now around the country for 11-year-old kids getting murder. He's a 14-year-old boy, okay? I mean, if he didn't know what he really did do, and if it was really an accident, he's got to live with it one way or the other his internal life. So, I mean, the point is let him get out the truth, and that way we know, and the mother and father at least would have known, you know, before they passed, how their son really died. That's where the amendment never happened.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I get into personal on it because I've been through this stuff. I've argued with the governors, the Secretary of State, the State Attorney General, all these agencies. I've been on their advisory boards. I talked to them personally for years. They freak out. I've had them literally run for me in the buildings. You know, that's always cute when, you know, they know I'm coming up to bring up an issue and they run from me. Then I have them saying, don't blindside me, Ed, in hearings. I've nailed them on their crap and the hearings. And then they sit there, and then I'm... You're rumored for blindsiding them, you know, and it's like, no, I'm not blindsiding anybody. You walked into it, you know. I mean, they walk themselves into stuff so easy. So, I mean, and because all these people are book caught, you know, they went to school, they think they know what's going on, but they've been programmed. They don't know what real life is. They never lived life. They lived it in their program school structure. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's the saddest part. I mean, I grew up playing kick the can. We were roller skating in the streets. You know, we used to sit there and do the cruising down the main street. You know, the kids were out until 10, 11 o'clock at night. Everybody knew where the kids were at. We didn't have to worry about, you know, even I was saying that it myself. But, you know, we already knew what was going on. The kids weren't in trouble. They were out enjoying the freedom at that point. And now the kids are crammed in their homes, and if they're not playing a Mac or in front of some computer game or some video game, now they're being told how they're stupid, dumb, because they don't know a computer or marine, a piece of plastic, compared to knowing what the trees and the food resources they have outside their door. If worse happens, at least they know how to eat and survive compared to, oh, it's not on a game. I can't hit the button. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. It's really sad what these kids are living.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, anyhow, I'm sorry. I know I get off sometimes, John. I don't mean it, you know.
That's
running.
Okay. It gives me a break, so. All right.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, and God bless all.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Somebody told me to take a break tonight, too.
Yeah. That's the second person who told you that in what, 2 days?
You're right. You are the most insightful information out there, John.